much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
The methylamine keeps flowing no matter what. We are not ramping down. We're just getting started. Nothing stops this train. Nothing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Wait, there's a disease called Asperger's?
Yes! You are so lying. There is no disease called f***ing Asperger's.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned.
That got unhealthy real quick. That's weird. That is well out of the mainstream.
Well, must be psychosomatic.
Now, don't worry. That's just a fancy doctor word for your brain is broken.
Unfortunately, there's no field of medicine that deals with the brain.
One could say that, but should one?
And now.
Hey, Remy, what happened to your pants?
I've never done a threesome. That's what we're doing here, right?
Our feature presentation.
That was New Girl, right?
I like the Every Morning with Kevin and Bean is what that is, Lisa. When you really stop and think about it.
That is a good point.
You do step into a small room with two men at 5:30 in the morning.
With
just
very
saying.
Little pants on.
That's correct.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Correct.
Exactly.
Well, morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Getting pretty excited about talking to Mark Spitz today, by the way.
Mark Spitz.
Dude's a boss, legend. Man. He's
yeah.
a legend.
Yeah,
wait, he's
absolutely.
A boss?
Yeah.
In the crime way or?
No, just an expression.
Big
just
business awesome. Way?
Neither of those, no. I don't think.
9 gold medals the dude has, by the way, in the Olympics. You work your whole life for a shot at one. He's
right.
Got 9.
9, whatever, 9.
You know, we found
Phelps
out.
Phelps has what, 20? 21?
We found
I
out.
I think 18 gold medals.
Oh, okay.
That you have to pay taxes on those. Do you remember last
yeah.
week? Which shocked me. You come home with 9, you are screwed.
Yeah, I wonder if that yeah. was, we'll ask him. We'll ask him if he had to pay taxes on his. That's a good question, Lisa.
That is bogus.
Know. Yeah,
and the
totally.
Government, the government can't, you're representing the United States. The government can't keep their hands off your gold medals. Really?
That is,
like, that's an exception they just can't make or will go under.
What about the $25,000 you win for getting a gold medal? Should the government keep its hands off that, too?
I think, this is my opinion.
Because it is earned income.
I know, but I think, this is just my opinion, but I think these people work. Most of them 4, 8, 16 years
yeah.
to get to the point where they are. And they don't, a lot of them don't get any support along the way.
Right.
So if they win a gold medal at the Olympics representing the United States, I don't think it's too much to ask to just.
Yeah, I think the question is, do we want to support their efforts? And the answer obviously is yes.
Right. I'd be fine with it.
Me too.
Well, the answer obviously has been no.
Yeah.
The answer has been actually. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I think I agree in this particular instance, but I think one of the major problems with the tax code of this country is there are too goddamn many exceptions. I would love to see a fair tax. I would love to see them eliminate all the exceptions for all the taxes.
I'd love to see them eliminate all the taxes.
Well,
yeah,
that's
there
good.
You
that'd
go.
Be so much better because then you don't have to give the government money.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. I don't know who would pay for your police and your roads and your schools
I'll
and all
tell
that
you,
good stuff.
Legalize marijuana. Thank
well,
you. Good night.
Help. Let me do this story real quick just because I love it so much. This is based out of Salt Lake City. Here's a 6-year-old boy in the news. His name is Isaac Lassen. He has been having trouble sleeping. In fact, he's been having a lot of sinus problems for the last 3 years. Since he was 3 years old, this kid has been having trouble.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I see where this is going, Tim.
Why is this a no-no? What
because
happened?
Because I know he put something in his nose.
Yep.
Oh, is that what you think?
He's
you think
six.
He put something in his nose,
he's
huh?
six. What else well, do you do when you're six?
His problem started when he was 3. He started experiencing horrible sinus problems. His dad, Craig, said he just felt terrible. I just would see him there every night sleeping with his mouth open, trying to breathe. Of course, they did the right thing and took him to doctor after doctor. For the last 3 years, they've been taking him to doctors. They've tried all sorts of treatments, including putting him on antibiotics and stuff. Well, they went to another doctor in July who said, Kevin, is there something up your nose? Is it possible there's some sort of a foreign body up your nose?
Wait, that wasn't the first doctor?
Or the second or the third?
3 years in.
Wow.
3 years in. Little Isaac said, well, I put some spaghetti up there once, but that was a long time ago. So they sent him to a specialist. And by the way, why on day one they didn't x-ray his nose, I don't
right.
know. But what they found was a ball of fungus, which turned
Ooh.
Out to be encasing a Lego tire. Which he had put up his nose when he was 3, a Lego tire. Apparently, they think that he bent it in half to get it up his nose, and then it opened up once it got into his sinuses, and then, of course, couldn't come out because it was too big.
Oh, my God.
So he's been walking around with a Lego tire in his nose for 3 years. Since the doctor's appointment a week and a half ago when they removed it, his appetite has improved. He has more energy. He's sleeping soundly. And the dad is asking, am I a bad parent because I didn't catch it sooner? But we kept going to doctors, and they kept saying there was nothing going on.
No, you're not a bad parent. Those doctors need to at least check it out.
Yeah. Especially any pediatrician.
Especially with a six-year-old. You know, six-year-olds, they either put stuff in their mouth or right up their nose. That's how it works.
Right.
He was determined, too. He folded that thing in
half. No kidding.
He wanted it up his nose.
The most important thing in his world.
The family laughs about it now that Isaac is healthy. It's just one of those weird things. Isaac thinks it's pretty cool. He doesn't even know how it happened. It's just weird. So there you go. A happy ending, at least. At least they figured it out when he was six and not when he was, you know, 16.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't remember why he did it when he was three.
Yeah, right, of course. True. Yeah.
It's because he's three. That's why.
Isn't that weird? It's weird that you wouldn't feel something up in your nose, too.
Yeah, I guess, but if it gets into your sinuses,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe it just felt like, what does he know at six? It's probably just that's life to him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But good times putting stuff up your nose. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about this morning's program, huh?
That's what America's all about.
Thank you. Ralph is going to begin his fencing career today as we talk to Tim Weske, who runs Swordplay in Burbank.
Love it.
And
I support this effort. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I want to see Ralph in Rio. That's going to be my thing. Ralph in Rio.
Ralph in Rio would be great. I mean, if he were able to do that, now I'm in.
Let's get him to the Olympics in 4 years.
Do we have to sponsor him money-wise?
I'm happy to. I think it'd be awesome. Have one of our guys in the Olympics?
I don't know what it would cost to...
Go ahead and throw in Kevin. I think you're safe.
I'm in. I'll pay for it, too, because he's not going to... We also have Olympic highlights to tell you about from yesterday. We have Claudia Optenkebler. I believe I actually said that right. I'm not positive. From CougarLife.com. And she is, she runs a business. And it's with, you know, older women who like to bang it out with younger men.
Is she a cougar also?
Don't know, but I would imagine so.
Or did she just see, you know, an opportunity in the marketplace and she thought, hey, I'm going to get in on some of that?
Well, if we had her in, we'd be able to ask her that.
Okay.
So. Also, the most marriages that you've had. J-Lo's going on four. And we had this conversation a couple days ago, which was, or yesterday, or a year ago, I don't know. Which was, when do you give up? When do you give up on marriage? Not on love, but on marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, if you've had three marriages go south, maybe you're not so good at marriage. Maybe just put that on the back burner and have a relationship with somebody, but don't get married, because then it just makes it so much more difficult. Well, she's on four.
Yeah, I wonder what her impulse is to marry Casper.
She's relatively young, so I'm sure maybe she's still... But if you're relatively young and you've already failed three times, I mean, that's crazy. Ralph draws the line at three. He's like, if I got divorced three times, I'm not going for a fourth time.
Well, you know what? Wait 20 years until you really know you are a different person, and then give it a shot.
Because if you fail three times and you're young, that's you.
Yeah. How long has she been divorced?
You are trouble.
A year?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably
maybe
about
a year.
Yeah. And she seems to be itching to marry this new one.
Hmm.
And what's the rush? That's a great question, Lisa.
We're also going to give away tickets to the Honda Civic Tour. We're going to do that in the next hour. So keep listening for that. And we're going to talk to, as Bean mentioned, Mark Spitz, one of the greatest swimmers of all time, to mock him about not getting as many medals as, what's his name, Michael Phelps.
Yes.
So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
So Terrell Owens as a Seahawk, Ralph, how's that going to go?
He got picked up by the Seahawks? That's awesome.
Yep. After not playing at all last year, by the way, for anybody.
Well,
I think
he did.
He played in indoor the, arena league or something.
He played in the two-touch league, I think, in Canada or something. It was magical.
I think it was flag football that he was actually got into. Yeah.
I hope they got him for like $4 an hour or something. They're not paying a lot of money for him, are they?
It's just a one-year deal, which will make him already cranky, which is good because he'll sign him for 1 year.
He should have to pay you for all the hassle that he's going to cause.
Yeah.
He's a good teammate, though. It'll be good. It'll work out well for you.
That's my quarterback.
And he's 38 years old, too, by the way.
Look, guy's still got skills. He's not the player he was, but he is better than a lot of wide receivers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong.
None of this has to do with his talent.
No.
Yes.
Now, the upside may be, because he's on a one-year deal and he wants to play in the NFL, that he might be on his best behavior trying to get a deal with another team or to get Seattle to re-up at the end of his deal.
First two or three games, sure.
I think he will try to be on his best behavior. The question is, can he do it? Is he capable?
Yes. Or
his real nature just end up seeping out because he can't control himself?
How long till he's working out in his driveway with his shirt off doing interviews with reporters, right?
If he has a couple good games early in the season, he will be demanding a contract renegotiation before the end of that season. So there will be crankiness galore. So.
Well, good times. Very excited to see official football things happening, though. We're going to get Andrew Siciliano in this week and get all caught up and get all excited about the NFL season, which is just around the corner. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
It is Tuesday. I need some cameras. There we go. It is Tuesday. That means we take a look at the new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD that's available for purchase. Rob Zombie's Mondo Sex Head is the new CD by Rob Zombie.
He's the best.
He is the best. He's the best. Da-na-na. Mondo Sex Head by Rob Zombie. Rob, of course, is busy preparing his Philadelphia Flyers movie, which I'm very excited about.
Hardcore Los Angeles Kings fan.
Yeah, he loves hockey. Lost in Transition by Sixpence None the Richer. Sixpence None the Richer has a new CD.
Wow.
Finally. Yeah, this is exciting.
DVDs.
Oh, wait, I don't care.
Available today. The Lorax, wildly successful Dr. Seuss movie, starring the voices of Danny DeVito, Ed Helms, Zac Efron, and Taylor Swift, is available today. Marley, documentary about Bob Marley. You can also pick that up. Rob Pattinson, Uma Thurman, and Kristen Scott Thomas have a new movie available on DVD called Bel Ami. Anyone ever heard of that before?
No.
Bel Ami? Yeah, I saw it on the plane.
My Bel Ami.
It was okay.
TV on DVD. Grimm, season one. If you're not watching Grimm, you're missing out.
That's a good one.
It's a good show. Parenthood Season 3 is available. And Strike Back, the complete first season. Oh, I'm glad to see Strike Back finally on DVD.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either, but apparently. It may be on the Stars Network, I'm thinking. I think it's a SWAT kind of show, maybe.
Hey, Dave, stop talking in my headphones and talk on the air.
Cinemax. What do you got, dude?
Cinemax. There you go. Skinemax.
Can't hear him. He's like,
it's good you have an answer.
It's one of the horror movies where you just hear the ghosts whispering in your head at night. Speaking of television, real quickly, Kevin, I know you're the only guy on my side on this one now. Are you watching the new season of Alphas over there on Sci-Fi?
Yes.
Is it even better than last season?
Yeah, and I didn't think that was possible.
I didn't either. I loved it last season, but they've just... It's like they turned it on its head like it was the fourth season or something. Like they said, we need to reinvent the show somehow, but they did it in the second season. It's just been amazing.
So good.
Saw the new episode last night. Watched it real time. And
I taped it.
Oh, really? You haven't seen it yet?
No.
It's a good one. It's Alpha's Fight Club, basically, is what it is. Yeah,
I like it.
Good premise. But if you're not watching Alphas, you're missing out. It's Monday nights over on the Sci-Fi channel. You can check that out.
It's sort of like Heroes.
It's what Heroes should have been.
A little more realistic, yeah.
Yeah. It's realistic, and the relationships between the characters are much more interesting. And David Strathairn, who plays Dr. Rosen, the leader of the group, is just a brilliant, brilliant actor.
All
I loved him in everything.
All the girls on the show are hot.
All the super-powered girls are hot. It really has everything. So I recommend it highly. Okay, let's talk about Katy Perry and John Mayer. It is on.
No.
Really?
Their genitals are touching, people.
No. So it's more than just they were photographed together. Now you have proof they're dating.
Well, they were photographed again, but this time it was entering the Four Seasons Hotel at Beverly Hills just moments after each other.
Ah.
Yeah, John Mayer goes in, and then about 4 minutes later, what do you know? She just happens to be strolling into the Beverly Hills Hotel herself.
Coincidence.
You know what that means? Hotel room sex.
Yeah. But he moves through them. I mean, it's not going to be a long-term thing.
Who cares?
I'm just saying.
He gets to have sex with Katy Perry.
I agree. Listen, it shouldn't happen, but at least it's going to be short-lived. And then I'm next. I think I'm next.
Your rack is unreal.
Yeah. Rob Pattinson. He was finally spotted out and about. Looks like he's getting over Kristen Stewart. They say he was out with some buddies last Saturday night enjoying himself with a few cocktails. He was at a country bar in Ojai, California.
A country bar?
A country bar
in Ojai.
In Ojai. What the hell
is he trying
is
to hide?
British Rob Pattinson, vampire from the Twilight series, doing at a country and western bar in Ojai, California?
Now, I have heard, Ralph. He has been hiding out at his good friend Reese Witherspoon's ranch up there near Ojai. That's at least how he ended up in the neighborhood, why he chose that particular drinking establishment. Maybe he felt like there was nobody in that bar who would recognize him.
Maybe, or maybe he just needs to, you know, sing some songs about broken hearts and pickup trucks and stuff.
No better style of music.
Nothing like country music to help you nurse your way through a heartbreak, because every song they have is about heartbreak.
It would suck to be that famous because you do just at times want to disappear.
Yes.
He's at Ojai in a country bar. You'd think he'd be safe.
And we still know
everything about it. That would suck.
Totally.
He went in and said, "Hey, why are you glittering, boy? Why are you all diamond skin? You one of them socialists?"
Mariah Carey is already being a diva on the set of American Idol, and she hasn't even started her job yet as a judge.
I'm excited.
Star Magazine's reported that she is demanding a huge dressing room so that she can have a wardrobe that would outdo Jennifer Lopez's. On top of that, she is demanding a separate huge nursery room for her twins, and so that her husband, Nick Cannon, can take care of them and be comfortable in there while she's working. She wants the whole family on the set. Oh, geez, if they only had some place where your family could live while you're working. But, oh, that's right, it's called your home.
Yeah, that is true. She lives here, right?
Yes.
Okay, so she gets up every morning.
I mean, they have a big place in New York, but I'm sure they have a place out here, too.
Well, they could move here. Instead of
moving into the American Idol set.
Can you imagine those kids, though, with her as their mom?
Oh, no.
Oh, they're just running crazy.
No, no, no. I heard rumors that Nick Jonas is in talks to becoming the other judge.
Yeah. Oh, that wouldn't surprise me.
That wouldn't either, but that would make the show unwatchable.
It would.
With Mariah Carey, if it isn't already, Mariah Carey and Nick Jonas giving their opinions on people? Who gives a rat's ass?
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Yeah.
How do you think Mariah will do, Ralph?
Not well. I think she's just a vapid dunce.
Yeah, I do too.
I agree. She doesn't seem very bright.
She's a vapid dunce that is so unbelievably crazy and full of herself.
But she's not crazy in a good way. I've never seen her go off like Paula did when she would say things that you couldn't believe were coming out of any human's mouth.
I think that's on the way.
Really?
I think so.
I never find her entertainingly stupid. Just sort of stupid.
Mm.
Just kind of boring stupid. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Wayne Knight Newman from The Seinfeld Show. He's 57. His new movie, Wayne Knight Rises, of course, is number one at the box office.
Wayne Knight Rises?
Are you sure?
Yeah, Bruce Wayne is the Dark Knight. Wayne Knight Rises.
The name of it.
Of
why don't you open
else.
A blog? Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden is 54 years old today. Let me tell you a little something about Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden.
Yes.
World-class fencer. World-class.
Really?
Huge fencer.
Here Ralph goes again.
Huge fencing fan.
Right.
And excellent fencer in his own right, Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden.
Right.
Let me just tell you something about Bruce Dickinson.
Right.
Fences.
Uh-huh.
That's all you need to know.
Okay.
David Duchovny's 52 years old today. Harold Perrineau of Lost. If I had to ask you, Harold Perrineau, he played Walt's dad.
Walt's dad.
On Lost. If I had to ask you, how old do you think Harold Perrineau is?
I'd say...
What would you give me?
30?
What'd you hit me with? 30? That's reasonable, just think. 49. He's 49 years old today.
Wow!
Boy, you blacks have it just... You just have it made when it comes to the aging thing.
That's crazy.
You just kick our asses when it comes to aging. Congratulations, black people. Well done.
Those of us that are white, when we're 30, we look 60.
Exactly. Harold Perrineau's out there just rocking that 30-year-old look at 49.
You lucky bastard.
DJ Samantha Ronson, he is 35 years old today. And actress Charlize Theron. Oh, come on now. Charlize Theron, everybody. Why am I the only one clapping? I don't understand what's going on here.
My hands are busy.
She is 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Linkin Park and Incubus together again. They're on the Honda Civic Tour September 8th at the Home Depot Center. We're going to be giving away tickets later this hour on the Kevin DeBene Show, and you're qualified for the drawing we do Friday to see them up in San Francisco. It is K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012, stop number 6. Again, you can win later this hour. Details at K-Rock.com.
I get made fun of a lot for liking soccer.
Yes.
I understand that I'm in the minority. And women's soccer doesn't exactly engender a lot of love toward me either. Although the women are spectacular. They're the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. women's soccer team are the best in the world.
And I am very proud of you for watching it.
Thank you, Lisa. It doesn't help me when everybody makes fun of me, but thank you.
You're welcome.
So yesterday they played Canada in the semifinal to see who goes to the final, to the gold medal game for the Olympics. And it was one of the best, men's or women's, or anybody else, sporting events I've ever seen. I was running around the house by myself, as usual, when I'm watching soccer. But it was really an unbelievable game, and I wanted to bring you a few highlights of it.
All right, before you do, first of all, that does sound awfully flimsy. You running around by yourself, jumping up and down, watching a bunch of chicks
in his
play
underwear.
Soccer.
He didn't. Right.
But you said a bunch of chicks playing soccer. These chicks are really good.
Whatever. But here's my point. Isn't Canada, like, Canada is not a great team. You have to be pretty good to make it to the Olympics. But don't they historically not win, Canada? Like, didn't you see Canada on the schedule and thought, well, that's a pretty easy win?
I think I thought that was a buy. We're just going to go right on to the finals with Japan. And Japan is the team that beat us in the World Cup last year on penalty kicks. So the U.S. really wants to get back there. But Canada gave us everything we could handle, and these are a few of the highlights. This is, Christine Sinclair is a Canadian, and she scored the first goal at about 20 minutes in.
Opportunity here, Christine Sinclair, one-on-one, Sinclair scores! She was due a goal against her old enemy, and she's got it. Hope Solo beaten for the first time in 368 minutes of play, and it's Canada 1, the United States 0.
All right, so nobody expected that. Canada 1, the United States 0.
Yeah.
0 being 0. That's the flimsy way they say it in Britain. So that lasts till the 70th minute. So it's still Canada 1, U.S. nothing till the 70th minute.
Japan await the winners of this semi-final at Wembley Stadium in the gold medal match on Thursday. Into the near post. A Canadian defender, Christine Sinclair, was there, and the United States are level.
So now it's tied, and then Canada comes back.
Sinclair's in the penalty area. Cross towards Christine Sinclair! Oh! A second goal of the night for Canada's goal scorer supreme, Christine Sinclair, gives Canada a 2-1 lead.
All right, so then that happens. Now remember, this is all at the end of the game. They had been playing for quite some time. This is all at the end of the game.
Wow, that is exciting.
So then this happens.
Megan Rapinoe drives it. Oh! A magnificent goal by Megan Rapinoe. Her second of the match. It's Rapinoe against Sinclair at the moment. And it's 2-2 with 20 minutes remaining.
So now it's tied with 20 minutes remaining, and they're still going. And
I like that girl.
That's all she does every time someone scores. She's too excited. So then Sinclair for Canada comes back.
Across it comes. Sinclair. It's a hat-trick. Christine Sinclair does it again. Incredible for Canada. She's playing like a woman possessed tonight. Canada 3, the USA 2.
So now we've been behind three times, which we're not used to, because Hope Solo is the best, you know, goalie in the game. So now it gets down near the end. They call handball.
We await the whistle. Abby Wamba, there it is. Scores. It's 3-3. What an epic game we have on our hands tonight. Who will face Japan in the gold medal match? We've no idea. 3-3.
So now it's 3-3.
By the way, the crowd is totally rooting for Canada, right, since the game's in Britain?
No, it's way U.S.
Really?
Yeah,
that's a surprise to me.
Just because
there was
the
both.
Team is
there
loved.
Was both. There was both. A lot of Americans traveled. You know, Canada was a bunch of people from Canada were there. So they played two overtimes, two 15-minute overtimes, and nobody scores, so it's 3-3.
This is a nail-biter.
Yes.
My God.
And then they're going to go into a shootout, which nobody wants. Penalty kicks, nobody wants that. But then, with 30 seconds in the extra time after both overtimes, this happens.
Wambach, space on the right-hand side for Heather O'Reilly. Morgan in the box, Wambach in the box. Here comes the cross. Oh, it's in! Alex Morgan has done it! Barely 30 seconds to go! It's 4-3 to the United States! Face of Abby Wambach.
This is unbelievable. Again, in the 122nd minute.
Extraordinary drama at the Theatre of Dreams. It's turned into a nightmare for Canada. But what a special night for the United States. And for a fifth consecutive Olympic Games, the United States are into the gold medal match in the most dramatic of circumstances. Alex Morgan with a winning goal in the 122nd minute. It's ended the USA 4, Canada 3. Absolutely extraordinary drama.
Come on.
Well, that seemed exciting.
That was super exciting. So you still think I'm lame for running around?
I may not. So when do they play again?
Gold medal game is Thursday.
Who do they play?
Against Japan, who beat them in the World Cup last year for the actual World Cup.
I'm going to have to see that, actually.
See?
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm...
All right, Incubus fans, we're looking for you right now. If you love the band Incubus, that'll give you a leg up to win tickets to see them along with Linkin Park at the Home Depot Center on September 8th. We're going to be playing a little game with you coming up next at 1-800-520-1067. You can call right now. Best tweet of the weekend on the Mars landing was, "Dear Religion, while you were debating what chicken sandwiches were okay to eat, I just landed on Mars. Sincerely, your pal Science." And that's kind of a joke about the Chick-fil-A controversy, but it is unbelievable. It still blows my mind.
Explain to people who weren't following that exactly what this is and how it happened.
Well, I mean, this is just the latest latest attempt for the Americans to try to figure out what the hell's going on Mars. They just sent the most sophisticated craft in the world up there. They had 7 minutes of terror Sunday night. Kevin, you of all people amazed me by being up watching it online.
I was on Twitter.
As it was landing.
I was on Twitter. And I saw a bunch of tweets about it, and you can watch it live here. You can watch it live here. And I was like, well, Bean would be proud of me if I watched this. So I clicked over, and once you start watching it, it really catches you up, and it's hard to not. And then I came in the next day. I was like, Bean, I watched something on NASA. And he's like,
it was too late. I went to bed.
It was too late for me. It was 10:30.
I thought he would be excited for me.
I wasn't going to stay up till 10:30. But it's billions of dollars, and they were trying a new way to land. The reason they were talking about that 7 minutes of terror is they had this unbelievably elaborate way that they were going to try to land the thing. The last time they landed on something on Mars, they basically just surrounded it with airbags and just crashed it into the ground. This time, they figured out a way with brakes and parachutes and everything else to kind of make a soft landing. And it's just super sophisticated equipment. And obviously, the reason they go to Mars is to find out more about it so one day maybe humans can go, and to see if there's any remnants of life up there. I mean, that's what it's all about.
It sent back a picture within 15 minutes. Now, I don't know how far Mars is.
It is 154 million miles.
It sent back a photo in less than 15 minutes.
That's unbelievable.
Yes. That's crazy.
Well, the technology blows my mind even more so when you find out the producer Dave has figured out a way that we can tap into the curiosity on Mars right now. And I believe we've got them joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Let's see if anyone's out there.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Wait, this is an unmanned craft. Who are you?
I'm Blurge.
Blurge?
I am a Martian.
Oh, wow.
Blurge, I saw your thing here. I thought I'd stop by.
That's a lot more than we were expecting, I think.
I can't resist a camera. I'm quite a ham. Hello? Hi.
So here we are wondering if there's just microscopic atoms on Mars, and we find out that there's an actual living being who can talk to us and speak English.
Yeah. I've been following the coverage for your landing.
You have?
Yes, it's very gay.
What? What are
gay.
You talking about? It was kind of impressive, I thought.
Oh, everybody at NASA, all those nerds in the short sleeve shirts, are all hugging each other and high five. Ooh, give me a hug, give me a kiss. Ooh, we're on Mars.
They were crying. That was happening.
Oh, we landed a piece of metal on Mars. Woohoo! Aren't we something?
Well, for us,
give me a reach around.
For us, it was kind of impressive, I think.
That's why you monkeys are really not running the universe these days.
Wait, are you running it?
Well, we're not. We're more sophisticated than you are.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, let's face it. You landed a piece of metal on a planet. When you start making crop circles, let me know. Yeah? When you start actually abducting people and doing anal probes, when you're making cattle disappear, when you get your game up, then we'll talk. Then you can hug and high five. But all those guys with the protractors and the pocket protectors kissing each other was a little overreacting.
But Blorge, that was the closest any of those people will come to having sex.
That's true. I have to give you that one. So congratulations to all the fruitcakes in Mars.
Blorge, how do you feel about the plan one day to land a human being on Mars, much as we did on the moon 40 years ago?
We're looking forward to it.
Oh, good.
Will you be hospitable hosts?
Well, send women.
Send women?
That's your best bet. We don't want to see any nerds. from NASA coming by and landing here and, you know, touching our comic book collections and playing our World of Warcraft game.
Wait, you have comic book collections in World
of
Warcraft?
Of course we do. We're not Neanderthals, for God's sake. We're sophisticated aliens. But send women. That would be your best bet. Because if women come here, they will be like, oh, gosh, how are you? Can I get you some Martian punch?
Are there no Martian women?
They are, but they're ugly.
Oh, they're ugly.
Oh, really? I didn't realize
incredibly
that.
Ugly.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, they have 12 breasts.
12?
Yes.
12?
And they're all A cups.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's an insult is what it is.
Does
just
it go
a lot of boobs. No, not one of them really any fun.
Does it go all the way around the back, or how does that fit exactly?
No, they look like a, you know, you roll a puppy over.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they got little nipples all over. Up yeah. Like running in rows along their gut.
Ours have huge boobs then compared to that.
You don't think we know that? Why do you think we could come to your planet?
Oh, okay.
We all know right. All about your women and your boobs.
All right.
That's why we want you to send some of those. Listen, if you get Branson or whoever has got some spacecraft, uh-huh. Just load it up with Playmates, with cans, big cans. Oh. And send them on up to Mars. We'll have a party.
Maybe Kate Upton. Maybe she can come up there.
She's welcome anytime.
Sure.
We'd love to see her do the doogie in negative gravity.
Is that code?
Yes, it is.
He was voted one of the five greatest Olympic athletes in U.S. history. Mark Spitz joins us coming up in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, though, it's time for the title fight. Dave, King of Mexico versus Lisa May. And the worst part about doing this is always Dave bragging about how he's going to destroy.
I am the champion.
You're going down, mother effer.
The worst part about it.
Hey, easy.
We are playing, of course, this time for Lincoln Park at Incubus Together. We're talking about the Home Depot Center on September the 8th. And you're qualified for the grand prize drawing Friday to see the band in San Francisco, too. It is the Kevin Bean title fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
I'm not kidding. Lisa May is loosening up.
I'm warming up. Shaking my legs like the swimmers do. I don't know how that's going to help. But
it's not.
Kevin, we have Incubus fans on the line. We're going to be playing with Montgomery and Marcel. Those are going to be our contestants here this morning. They are primed and ready. Tell folks how this game goes.
Well, what's going to happen is that Lisa and Dave have not looked at the titles yet, but they are titles of Incubus songs. As soon as the clock starts, they open it up. They need to get you to say the name of the Incubus song, but they can't use any of the words in the title.
Okay.
So they'll give you clues so that you will say the name of Incubus songs.
All right. And if you're just stumped, if you have no idea what your person is trying to get you to say, you can say pass and then go back to it at the end if you have time. Let's go to Montgomery first on line four and find out who he wants as his partner. Hi, Montgomery. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, what's up, man?
Who do you want? Do you want Lisa May or Dave today to be reading the clues for you?
Dave.
I'm going to take Lisa May.
No.
Good Lisa. Good
All right, since you got to choose your partner, you also have the burden of going first. So 45 seconds on the clock. Lisa's going to open up the envelope. You're looking for Incubus titles here. Good luck.
You ready?
Yes.
Go.
This is what you do with a shovel.
Dig.
All right, this is something that's telling you not to do something. It's a sign.
Warning.
Okay, when you really, really, really have that feeling for someone, but it's painful.
Wish you were here.
No, you fall in. When you want someone, you fall in what with them?
Love.
Uh-huh, and it's painful.
It's painful. Love hurts.
Yes. Okay, this is when you say to someone, coming with us or not?
Close.
What's the opposite of out?
Pass.
Okay. This is a crazy person who wants to rule the world.
Megalomaniac.
All right. This is when you...
Wow. Really impressive. Lisa, you were very close on Are You In? That was the one you guys got a little bit tripped up on. I'm glad you didn't make a small penis joke with that one. So Dig is one, then Warning Love Hurts Megalomaniac. So that's a four. That's four for Montgomery
four.
In 45
right,
seconds. That's
job.
Very impressive.
Nicely done. Although passing on the opposite of out was questionable.
He did the right thing, though, because he ended up coming up with Megalomaniac in the last second.
I hear you.
So that was nice. All right, let's see what Marcel's got going on. Marcel, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, morning, guys.
Oh.
Good morning.
You're behind the eight ball here because not only did your competitor come up with four, but you also have Dave as a partner. So you've got two strikes as you step into the box.
Yeah, I was hoping to get Lisa, and I don't mean to brag here, but I did get all of the
Wow. Really?
Well, then I'll make sure you get none of them now.
Maybe you should have waited until after this particular 45 seconds.
Yeah, you should never, ever have said that because now everyone is rooting against you. By the way, we've all been trying to get Lisa for years, too. It's not as easy as you think it would be.
All right, good luck. Incubus titles, 45 seconds on the clock. It's you and Dave. Go.
All right, when you get in a car, what do?
Drive.
Something that's awesome is also known, like another word for awesome, are fine.
I'll pass.
All right. This is another word for excuse. You asked for to be...
pardon me.
Okay. This mixes with vinegar. Think about it. Something with vinegar. And,
oil?
Yep.
Oil, water?
Yep. When you're young, what do you have? I mean, think about your youth. What are you called?
Adolescent.
Yep. All right. Now, Nicole Smith?
Anamoli.
Yep. And,
what?
And this is...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. He got five.
Nice.
He got five. He had one.
Suck it.
All who the hell? Who the hell is Nicole Smith?
Yeah, I don't even get that.
Anna. He was going for Anna Nicole
Smith.
He
was going for Anna Nicole Smith. That's unbelievable.
Wow.
Marcel, I certainly would have rooted against you being named Marcel just to start with, plus having Dave as a partner, plus bragging up a storm before you started. But you are going to see Incubus and Linkin Park at the Home Depot Center, and we might call you Friday to send you to San Francisco. Well done. Thank you for playing the title fight.
Last night was the not-so-secret show with Green Day at the Echoplex, and there's a review up at krock.com if you'd like to see it and read about it and see how many songs they did and all that kind of
24
stuff.
24 songs. Boulevard of Broken Dreams, by the way, not one of them. How about that? But an interesting playlist, and it sounds like a tremendous show. And, man, you were lucky if you were one of the 700 people that was at the Echoplex to see Green Day last night. sounds awesome. You can check it out at krock.com. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat, and then... coming up after the top of the hour, we'll talk to Mark Spitz, a man who won 7 Olympic gold medals in one Olympics. And that's a record that held for, what, almost 40 years until Michael Phelps came along in Beijing.
He must hate Phelps. He must, right? Because that was his record.
Dead.
That's question one. Do you hate
him? Michael Phelps? It stuns me when I listen to your radio program that...
we're still on the air. Yeah, we know.
Besides that anyone ever gets any... answer with Dave, the K-Mexico playing the title game. It's remarkable to me. Nicole Smith.
Unbelievable.
Think about your youth. Now, this
guy got it. Yeah.
Look, to his credit, only to the player's credit,
correct.
Did he come up with adolescent.
Yeah, correct.
But about your youth. All right. Oh, let me just think about everything that happened to me between the ages of birth and 18.
Yeah, that guy was a great contestant.
He was a great contestant.
And what happens, for those of you that don't know, is now Dave leaves the studio and goes back to his desk and goes, I wrecked it.
He's all puffy.
Shut up. Those are great clues.
I was puffy.
Great. I was great.
It mixes with vinegar. Think about it. I don't know. Spices. Salads. I don't know. Think about your youth. You think about your own damn youth.
Thanks, King. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do want to give away some passes to the world premiere of a movie called Hit and Run.
Yay!
Happening at the Regal LA Live next Tuesday, August the 14th. It's in theaters everywhere Wednesday, August the 22nd. But if you're one of the first two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, you will be amongst the lucky people to attend the red carpet world premiere alongside stars like Dax Shepard, who also wrote and directed this film. His betrothed, Kristen Bell, is also in the movie. Bradley Cooper stars in the film as well. Tom Arnold, well, they can't all be winners. But I'm saying, you can see it if you'd like to go. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two callers to get through. Boom. Tickets. Sad news this morning. One of the legends of movie music, and Broadway music for that matter, has passed away. Marvin Hamlisch died at the age of 68 in Los Angeles. He composed the scores for dozens of movies and TV shows, including legendary scores like The Sting, for example. That was his work. He reworked the original songs by Scott Joplin, but still, he put that all together. He won every major award you could win in his career. 3 Academy Awards, 4 Emmys, a Tony for A Chorus Line, which is still one of the biggest Broadway hits in history, 3 Golden Globes. Here's some of the movies he did scores for. Most recently, probably The Informant. Steven Soderbergh's very funny comedy. He did the score for that. The Mirror Has Two Faces, Frankie and Johnny. The 84 Olympics. He came up with a score for that.
Wow.
Sophie's Choice, Ice Castle, same time next year, the James Bond movie, The Spy Who Loved Me, The Way We Were, probably his biggest hit in movies. That Streisand song netted him a lot of acclaim. He worked with Woody Allen very early on in his career with Take the Money and Run and Bananas. Very talented guy, 68 years old, passed away here in Los Angeles. So.
You just met me, so it's, you know, as best as you can sum up, what would the soundtrack for my life sound like?
Wet fart. Would be my answer.
How dare you.
Comic book movie news. Time is ticking for 20th Century Fox. By the way, shouldn't they be 21st Century Fox at this
yeah,
point?
Yeah, maybe.
They yes, they should.
Sure.
They have a limited time in order to put their Daredevil movie into production, or else they lose the rights to that character and reverts back to Marvel. Now, you may remember Daredevil was the film with Ben Affleck.
Was that a hit?
It was not.
Not a hit.
They're going to reboot that franchise. But the rights revert back to Marvel if they don't go into production by October 10th. So they're in a hurry. They don't have anything in place. They're starting to panic. They have made a very interesting deal with Marvel, apparently, to swap out some characters in order to buy themselves some more time. The story is that Fox will get more time to make their Daredevil film if they let Marvel use some characters from the Fantastic Four universe, which they also own the rights to. Apparently, Marvel wants to use the supervillain Galactus and Silver Surfer and a couple other characters in their upcoming Marvel films. And they're saying to Fox, now, if you let us use those characters, if you loosen up your rights to those, we will give you more time to make your Daredevil movie. So we'll have to wait and see. I always thought Daredevil was a great movie to be made in that character. We just haven't seen it yet.
Here's what I know. The best way to get a great movie, though, is to really rush it.
That's true. If you can just write a half-ass script and just really get the cameras rolling.
Start shooting the very next day.
You'll be in much better shape.
Usually gold.
Alec Baldwin is doling out marital advice.
Well,
after all, he's been married for weeks now. I can see why he's giving her else advice. Actually, he says basically his second marriage to Hilaria Thomas will be much more normal, he said, because Hilaria is not an actress.
He is blaming
the failure of his first marriage to Kim Basinger on the fact that they were both actors and destined to make movie after movie requiring months and months of time apart, and he says that is why the marriage fell apart. I thought it was because they're both raving lunatics and they would scream and yell at each other.
There's that.
Look, the best marital advice that Alec Baldwin can give is marry a hot 20-something-year-old yoga instructor.
Yeah.
That's the secret of the success right there.
Flexible. That's all you need. And Jessica Simpson's desperate to lose her baby weight. She's got to deal with Weight Watchers. And they can't start making those commercials yet because she hasn't lost any weight.
Aww. She looks terrible if you've seen any of these tabloid pictures lately, Ralph. I don't know that she's lost a pound.
She looks horrific.
Fatty.
Now, here's the thing. Under contract with Weight Watchers, she is prohibited from using any surgical options to lose the weight. So she can't get liposuction. She can't get a lap band. She can't do anything.
That's why you fly to South America or Europe or someplace.
Or else she forfeits her Weight Watchers money. So word is she's looking to non-surgical options like lipodissolve. Have you ever heard of lipodissolve?
No, but dissolve is not a word I want used on
They dip you in acid body. And they just just strips the flesh away from your bones.
You just come out bones?
You come out a skeleton.
But you lose a lot of weight.
You lose a lot of weight. No, lipodissolve, apparently they use laser light, I believe, to melt the fat under your skin, and then it just gets absorbed and processed by your body's natural function.
Does that sound like it works? Safe?
I don't know.
Seems like we would have heard of it if it worked, doesn't it?
Wouldn't Dancing with the Stars love to have her, Ralph? That's what she needs to do. That's
dance true. Her fat off?
Yeah, you could. They work so hard. Why not?
Although I guess they got the All-Star Edition coming up, so she probably wouldn't be eligible this time around.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is DJ Samantha Ronson's 35 years old. Of course, she the on-again, off-again girlfriend of Lindsay Lohan. Charlize Theron, one of my favorite people in the world, 37 years old today. Happy birthday, Charlize. She used to be our friend. Remember she used to come on the show? And she would stop by. She would hang out.
Yeah.
She doesn't do that anymore.
No.
I think it might be Dave again, just like with Kristen Bell. I think we had a good relationship until Dave got too close to them, and then they don't come back.
No, I think it's me. She stopped coming in once I got married, pretty much.
Think about it. It's just too painful.
Think about it. Once I got married, that's when the love stopped. That's when she stopped hanging out. I think...
She's an honorable person, so she doesn't want to put herself and you in that position.
I think she's just her ass is a little chapped that I got married to someone
else.
Oh,
she's angry. I see.
I think she's a little jealous.
And all the weeping when she sees you now would just be embarrassing at this point.
Harold Perrineau is 49 years old today. David Duchovny's 52. Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden and also an excellent fencer, I'll have you know. He is 54 years old. What are the odds that we would have the one celebrity fencer on the show, having his birthday announced, and also talk to an expert fencer in his own right later on in the show.
I don't know how to figure those odds.
And to talk about my excitement about the sport of fencing. It's a magical day. Wayne Knight, actor who played Newman on Seinfeld for many seasons, is 57. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I feel like I need to get Internet Explorer on my computer every time I hear that song now, because they've been running that commercial so much during the Olympics. And when we had Alex Clare in here a couple of weeks ago, he told us that was the big break. You know, he'd been struggling, the album wasn't selling, and he gets a call out of the blue from Microsoft, and they say, hey, we want to use your song so close for a commercial, and boom, everything just blows up for him. But, man, that's a great album, too, and you ought to go to kevinandbean.com and scroll down a couple of days and look for the acoustic version of that song that Alex Clare performed right here in our studio when he visited.
It's always cool to have somebody that has a song like that to break it down, bring in a guitar, and just sing it with just the guitar in your voice.
Oh, yeah.
It's a completely different version than you're used to, and it's cool.
And how impressive was he, by the way, that voice. I mean, just humble. I mean, that is not studio trickery. That dude's got the talent. He's amazing.
You look at him, and I would size him up, and I would go, that guy can't sing. But it's just wrong.
All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Every once in a while, we get a chance to talk to our heroes. I'm thinking about when we had Johnny Cash in. We had Jim Lovell, the commander from Apollo 13, from the actual Apollo 13 mission in our studio. And this is one of those days, one of the all-time greatest Olympic athletes, not just of this country, but worldwide. Mark Spitz joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. And we couldn't be more honored to welcome Mr. Spitz to the program. Hi, Mark. How are you, man? That was a big intro to get nothing in return.
Hello, Mark.
Try again.
Hi.
Oh, there we are.
Hey, how are you, sir? Good to talk to you.
Just fine. Thank you very much.
Well, we appreciate having you on. I was surprised when they offered you to come on our program because it didn't sound like you were promoting or selling anything. You're just coming on just to talk Olympics, right?
Well, I'm talking about what you want to ask me. I am involved with a company involved with nutrition, New Vitality, that I take a product that's really great. And it's a... called Aegis Male. It gives me nutritional energy, to be honest with you. It works on my muscle metabolism. You want to wake up in the morning, you don't want to be all sore with muscles, and that's what happens when you get a little older.
Yeah, well, I've seen you at 62 years old, and believe me, you could still kick my ass, Mark. Obviously, this stuff is working for you. So, for our younger listeners who don't recognize the name, you scored big in the 68 and the 72 Olympics. What do you have total in terms of medals? Around 11, right?
Yeah, I actually have exactly half of what Michael Phelps has. I swam in half as many Olympics. I have 9 gold medals. He has 18. I have 1 silver. He has 2 of them. Yeah. I have 1 bronze. He has 2 of them.
All right. So the next question that, you know, begs to be asked is, do you hate him?
No. No. Listen. I didn't have a horse in that race. How can I be upset? Records are made to be broken.
I know, but you had your 7 golds in one Olympics, and that held till now, or till last Olympics.
Till Beijing, right?
Yeah, till Beijing.
Hey, listen, you know, that wasn't really an event. That was really sort of the journey of my career, and it happened to be, and everybody was watching, I was swimming events that I held the world record in, and I came away, you know, winning those events and breaking world records. And I take it as a real kudu. I mean, as something that is a feather in my cap that somebody yet not even born, you know, used what I had done as a matter of measure to judge himself by.
Yeah, that's true.
And he went out and tried to do it, and he wasn't successful in 2004, and he came back, you know, 4 years later, and he became very successful. I'm all too happy to hand the torch of that sets of responsibility off to him and let him walk through the crowds now, you know, being revered. Somebody can leave me alone for a little bit.
Have you kept up with following Olympic swimming? Have you, watched the changes with the, you know, the earbuds and with the caps and with the goggles and with the training and with the different kinds of swimsuits? I mean, a lot has changed since your day, right?
Well, a lot has changed with regard to some of the equipment, and certainly the equipment that has beneficial would have benefited us back in our day, but relatively speaking, the same people would have still been doing the winning. One of the things that was the most profound thing over the last 40 years is that if you went to a gymnasium 40 years ago, you wouldn't see anywhere near the technologically advanced equipment that you see in an exercise facility. I mean, there's so many different ones, and they're used for specific types of muscle groups. So now what we do know about that is what they call cross-training. You could send somebody over to station number 2, 7, and 5 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for 20 minutes each, and some other stations throughout the sprinkle part of the week.
Right.
And that would develop a muscle group to be specific to, let's say, be the 100-meter freestyle swimmer. And because of the strength, because of that, you end up being able to be stronger and faster. We had tall swimmers back in my day, but they couldn't get literally out of their own way because they couldn't overcome the strength necessary to move that body mass. Now, of course, they can, and We know that short boats don't go as fast as long boats. Well, guess what? Longer swimmers go faster than shorter swimmers.
Right.
I mean, these guys are a half a foot taller than me. By virtue of the fact that they just fall in, they're already 6 inches closer to the finish line.
Now, the other thing that they do these days is they shave every hair on their body, and you had famously had the mustache. I mean, you were Teen Wolf compared to these guys today.
Well, you know, I did do the shave down part, but at the Olympic trials, I was originally going to shave off my mustache, and we didn't wear caps in those days, although they were allowed. Goggles were not allowed because it was an unfair advantage. They hadn't really circulated worldwide yet, so some of the other nations didn't have them. But the fact is that I thought that everybody was talking about that mustache, and they were spending so much time worried about that, they figured they couldn't beat me. And I actually kept the thing in Munich, and one of the Russian coaches came up to me and said, "Hey, doesn't that slow you down?" And I don't know why I told him this. I just was lying through my teeth. I said, "No, the water deflects away from my mouth. I can get much lower and streamline in the water, and I can swim so much faster." The following year, every Russian swimmer had a mustache.
I love it. Don't think it really helped. I love it. You lied on the spur of the moment and changed the Russian history.
Well, yeah, you know, you really got to, what it says is you got to believe in yourself. You know, maybe technically I might have swam, you know, a hundredth faster. And I had won races by a hundredth to break a world record, but based on my preparation before the Olympic Games, I didn't have a race that was going to be that close. And to me, I had such confidence that I just figured, hey, if this is bugging the heck out of my competitors so much and the press is still wondering about it,
yeah,
I'm just keeping this thing.
Absolutely.
Man, yeah.
Now, what does Michael Phelps have in front of him? He says he's retiring. He's done. He wants to travel the world. He wants to not get fat. You had a point where you had to throw in the towel. What's it like?
Well, what's Michael Phelps have in front of him is his mom, Debbie.
Yeah.
I mean, she wants to go to Rio, so that's why I suspect that somewhere along the line, since you don't want to upset your mother, we may see him back competing.
So you think he'll be in the next Olympics in Rio?
Well, I think he might get the urge to swim one event. He'll probably think that swimming and training for one event's got to be a whole heck of a lot simpler than swimming for eight or seven events,
right?
Which obviously it is. And maybe because of the fact that he doesn't have that much pressure on him to win a bunch of medals, that he just wants to go because he does it so well, and he does. I mean, he's a great swimmer. You know, he might want to challenge himself. I mean, he's definitely young enough that even at the age of 31, he'd be able to make the Olympic team, I'm sure, and be a contributor on a relay. If you didn't see him in the finals, he'd be swimming in the prelims, and he would, and is entitled to get a medal or whatever that relay gets. So, and I think just the compulsion of saying, hey, you know, let's go for another medal.
Sure.
That's interesting. This is the voice of one of the all-time great Olympians, Mark Spitz, on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. When you retired at 22, Mark, were you so glad to not have to be out there at 5 o'clock every morning swimming laps and looking at that black stripe on the pool? Did you stay out of the water for a while once you walked away from competitive swimming?
You bet, for 17 years.
You know, really?
It was great. Well, you know, there was no future for me to go and continue. I mean, I had done what I had done, and I had set a pretty strong record that nobody else had done, so there wasn't anything that was luring in the background to say, well, I'm going to go keep swimming for another couple of years.
Right.
The only way I could have done that is if they allowed professionalism, which they didn't back in those days. They do now. They changed the rules in 1988, and they took the word amateur out of the Olympic Games, and that's why you saw the Dream Team appear,
right,
and that these athletes now can make money. And, of course, my sponsors, as well as Michael's, Phelps' sponsors, would have encouraged me to continue to swim, obviously, from one Olympics to the next because of, obviously, the PR value of it.
One last question, because I know we're almost out of time. I saw Missy Franklin being interviewed the other night, and of course she's the female swimmer for the USA who just won all those golds, and she was saying she won't go pro because she wants to swim in college. And I thought, what does it even mean to go pro? Like, what is the pro swimming circuit now? How do you make money off that?
What she's really saying here, first of all, she's still got one more year of high school.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And she can't swim in sports in high school nor collegiate sports if, in fact, you take and make money. Now, she could probably make so much money for sure that she could definitely pay for a college scholarship.
Right.
I mean, you know, pay for basically her own schooling in college. And she could probably swim with a collegiate team, but she wouldn't be able to compete at the actual swimming competitions. Listen, Michael Phelps did very well at actually doing just that. I mean, he graduated from high school. He went pro. Pro being that he could take endorsement money. And the fact is that he went to Michigan and followed his coach that became a college coach there. And he did swim with the team. I think he became an assistant coach. They paid him a buck so that legally he could be in the water and in the pool with them. He got his training basically there. All the athletes benefited from that. And then he went around and swam in different competitions. Now, you know, the collegiate swimming program was the reason that we were so successful in swimming back in my era, because it kept us between the age of 18 and 22 basically competing. And the, and as we know, the college circuit does really well for people that, you know, use it as a springboard in football and in basketball.
Right.
And so, therefore, you know, I can see why she would want to, you know, continue on through being able to have a college career. And obviously, her family's well-to-do enough to where, one, she'll get a scholarship, so we don't have to pay for college. And number two, that's not what motivates her right now. So I just, you know, let her go where she wants to be.
Fascinating. Well, we're out of time. The great Michael Phelps broke the record, but Mark Spitz will always have a place in our heart as one of the greatest Olympians of all time. Mark Spitz USA on Twitter, and the website is markspitzusa.com. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today. We appreciate it, sir.
Gone.
Okay. Done with you.
I think we ran a little bit too late, and they cut us off. But thanks, Mark. You're welcome.
I know we've been talking a lot about the Olympics today, but Ralph Garman in Rio 2016 on the U.S. fencing team is going to happen. And the first step of that takes place coming up next hour on the Kevin DeBean Show as we talk to a guy who runs a fencing place in Burbank. He's going to help get us hooked up. And also we'll talk about cougars in the 8 o'clock hour as well. If you're a young man looking for a hot older woman, we got you taken care of.
Jennifer Lopez is talking about getting married for a fourth time.
To her dancer boyfriend.
For a fourth time she's getting married.
Yeah.
And that's sort of...
She's 42, by the way. She's already three times divorced at 42.
Now, that's sort of just thinking. At what point do you say, hey, I am not good at this. Maybe marriage isn't for me. You see people that get married three times and then four times and then five times and then even sometimes six times and seven times. And you go, why? I'm not exactly sure. What's this, the only thing that's in common with all of those seven marriages is you. Maybe you're not good at it. Either change or stop getting married, one or the other.
Give it a long break.
It really
does
seem
odd.
Before
you try it again.
People just keep jumping right into it and jumping right into it. And this is her fourth time. And we were talking about how many it would take before we lost faith in our own ability to stay married.
Right.
And, you know, once you get to the third divorce, don't you go, eh, this isn't working.
Are they people who are not self-aware, so they just keep blaming the other person?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
But there must be something, even having three marriages break up, there must be something about the institution of marriage that is attractive to her. She must be one of these people who likes being married, is happier in a relationship if it's with her husband rather than with her boyfriend. That's the only thing you can think is for some reason she wants to put a ring on it.
But the younger, the better, which is what cracks us up. I mean, really, if you're in your 20s and you've been married three times, that's pretty spectacular.
Yes, it
is. So we're going to look for your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. How many times have you been married in your lifetime, and how old are you?
Hey, look at Britney Spears. She's younger than Jennifer Lopez. Hasn't she already been married three times or is getting ready to get married for her third time?
Right,
I mean, she's got to be close to that, right?
I think if you include that 24-hour one or whatever mm-hmm. that was in Vegas, yeah. But, and you know, Vegas, let's be honest, you can just subtract that from the equation. But how many times have you been married? 1-800-520-1067. You've tried it many different times. It hasn't worked. But you're still up for it. It's still all good. Still a good option for you. You're still looking forward to getting married again. Doesn't make any sense, but give us a call at 1-800-520-1067.
John, you hang on for 1 second. We're going to get right to you here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about multiple marriages. For some reason, you love being married, no matter how many times it doesn't work out for you. We're talking about Jennifer Lopez, 42 years old, already divorced three times, eager to walk down the aisle with her 24-year-old boyfriend. By the way, here's a list of a couple of other celebrities. I guess I didn't realize that William Shatner, for instance, has been married four times. Liza Minnelli has been married four times. Three of those marriages, guys, occurred within a year after getting a divorce.
Wow.
Wait, Liza Minnelli got four guys to marry her? Are you kidding?
And three of them were super straight.
What?
Imagine, though, getting divorced and then getting remarried less than a year. Don't you need some sort of time to, I don't know, even out a little bit?
Well, it didn't work for her, so I would guess so.
Martin Scorsese is on his fifth marriage right now. Billy Bob Thornton has been married five times, but has not gotten married since he divorced Angelina Jolie a long time ago. Larry King has been married seven times, is currently on his eighth marriage. Talk
Jeez.
To host Larry King.
That's crazy, right? Eight different
times.
And
by the way, you'll remember last year that they filed for divorce. They've been married about 15 years. They filed for divorce, citing irreconcilable differences, but then they dismissed the petition, and they're still together today. So at least number eight is sticking so far. But let's find out what's going on. Let's talk to our man John here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He's online, too, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about multiple marriages. Hi, John. Thanks for holding on, man. How are you?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, John. Yeah. Don't even try to make time with me.
You want to marry Lisa while you got her on the phone?
Number three, you said.
Number three.
So right, you've been married twice already.
Yeah, well, I was married once at the age of 21, got divorced, and it's funny you said that. Less than a year, I basically got remarried, just moved my girlfriend right into my house less than a year after I got divorced. And this is under the age of 25 at the end when I got my second marriage. I'm 30 now. So
are you still married?
Still going on number two. Yeah,
okay,
number
you're
two, still going.
Still married to number two isn't bad.
Yeah, I think I think you're allowed to have a starter marriage. I think that's okay. If you get married a little bit too young and it doesn't work out because you guys grow up and grow apart, and then you stay with number two, that's fine.
Yeah, I totally understand that also. It's like the first one kind of seems like, okay, you kind of, you know, test the waters and, you know, got your feet wet, you know, so, but it didn't work out, and now you kind of know what to look out for in the next one.
They should
now,
make your...
to three, four, and five, that's something else.
Yeah, they should make your first marriage of anybody's life should be a three-year contract.
I like it.
A renewable three-year
contract.
Yeah. Renew or walk away.
I turned in that lease. That's what I did.
Yeah, you turned in the lease every 3 years.
Exactly. Right. That's great. Thank you very much, John. Good luck with number two. Let's go to Leslie. Leslie has been married 4 times already.
All right.
Leslie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
You're good.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, you know, who knows? My therapist doesn't know. My friends tease me mercilessly. I was just this weekend. I'm like, yeah, my ex-husband. Everyone goes, which one? Ha, ha.
Yeah.
How old are you, Leslie?
I'm 32.
And how? Give me the age you were at each of your weddings.
Oh God! First one was 21, Vegas drive-through, $40.
Sweet.
Next one, gosh, 24.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 27, and my birthday, 30.
So 2 to 3 years apiece.
And how long did each of them last?
Well, got just a couple years each, two to three.
I wish I would have just said that.
I do too. Yeah. What show are you listening to there, Lisa? Tell Carson we said hi.
Yeah, renewable marriage might work for me in the future.
Right? Don't you think so?
Is there any kind of a through line that you can point to for the failure of these marriages?
You know, I was the girl that just got married really fast. I liked the romance and I really liked to be right. So I was like, you know, I could probably make this work.
Do you like the wedding part?
Not really. No.
Not really.
I really like the commitment part.
So until 2 years.
Yeah, what happens at 2 or 3 years, though, that makes you sour on it?
Well, that was different for each one.
Okay.
So that part is not consistent.
Let me ask you this question. So marriage one, you say, till death do us part, right?
Yeah.
And then marriage two, you say, till death do us part. And then marriage three, that part has to start getting a little shaky, right? You go, till death do us part.
Yeah.
And then marriage four, you go, I'm not going to say that. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right?
Are you still married now to number four?
No, my divorce is finally
Of course not.
Congratulations.
Are you looking for number five?
No.
Are you open? Are you open to number five?
You know, it depends on the day.
Depends on the day. I just found out what the problem was.
Do you feel like you shouldn't be married? I mean, should you put yourself on a sabbatical and go, okay, no matter what, no matter how bonkers I am for a guy, I promise I'm not going to marry him?
Maybe.
You can't do that. Come on. We all know you. You're going to be married within a year and divorced again within 3.
It could be. It could happen.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Invite us to the next one, Leslie. Thank you for calling.
I will. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat, as he is every hour about this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
I got it going on. You know why? I'm a fencer. That's why.
You're not a fencer.
I'm a fencer.
Wanting to be a fencer does not make you a fencer.
Want to buy a watch?
Not that kind of fencing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's different. One thing.
You know, Lynette, our intern, was a longtime fencer. She brought in her a couple foils and her gear today.
I saw you in there with the sword swinging it around, and you do not look like a
natural.
That's
not a sword?
Not a natural.
You don't know the first thing about fencing.
I know a lot about fencing.
You're the last person I would take fencing advice from.
I was in the 99 World Cup of fencing.
World Cup of fencing? First of all, everyone knows they canceled it in 99.
Political?
There was a cotton weevil breakout, and it was attacking the cotton fibers of the
I'm going to have to Wikipedia this. This doesn't sound right to me. And by the way, your story falls apart, Kevin, because you don't follow any sports played by men.
That's right. Oh, look, the girls kicked the ball. It's the best thing ever.
You guys know it's not bad just because it's girls, right?
No, it's great for girls.
No, it's great.
It's a great sport that girls can enjoy. I'm happy for them. I'm glad they have a sport that even they can play.
They play fantastic soccer, and
yes,
it was
they do.
Great.
And if the best players of a sport are girls, that makes it not football.
Well, a lot of things make it not football.
That's what I'm saying. And they're not good. You need to know that. All right, let's talk about more important things. Like the fact that Sharon Osbourne is leaving The X Factor. Not The X Factor.
America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, here's the thing. She is quitting America's Got Talent as one of the judges.
Fantastic.
Because she is ticked off at NBC.
Why?
Because they promised her son, Jack, a role in their new reality series, Stars Earn Stripes. Stars Earn Stripes is a series where celebrities go through training, military training, and then have to go out on field ops with military personnel.
Right.
And Jack Osbourne was supposed to be on that show, but when he announced he has multiple sclerosis, they canceled his appearance on that show. They rescinded their offer.
Because of safety, I imagine.
I think medically he might not be fit for the challenge?
Well, he's in the early stages of MS, and right. He did agree to pay for his own insurance to be on that show, so it wouldn't cost them anything out of pocket if he were to get hurt or sick while filming.
Well, that's a dick move, then.
That's what Sharon thinks. She thinks it is unfair. She thinks it is a certain amount of discrimination against someone with an illness. And she said, I just can't be fake. She can't work for NBC while this has gone on behind the scenes. So she said, I am leaving the network. They can't do anything to me, except she does have some time in her contract, so she can't be a judge on another network for 5 years. But she said she doesn't care about that. She feels like this is the right thing to do.
Yet she's working out the remainder of her contract, too. Even though she's steaming mad at NBC, she's going to stay till the end of the season.
She's going to finish the season, but that's not her contract. Yeah. She's got many more years left on her contract that she will not return, and then she just won't work for those years left on her contract as a
judge
on another show.
I like Sharon. I think she's a principled woman. I don't have any problem with her making this statement.
I don't either. I think it's strong of her, and she is consistent. She's not being hypocritical working for a network that screwed over her son. She's taking a stand.
We've been threatened by her, and I know it scared us.
It is a scary situation when Sharon Osbourne threatens you. I would like her to find a reason to not be on The Talk. Maybe we can work that out. Is she still on The Talk?
I don't know. I don't watch that show.
I think she's on The Talk, too. I hope CBS cheeses her off at some point so she can stop doing that show as well.
Give us that hour of daytime television back, please.
That show is rough.
Is it as bad as The Chew?
Oh, I have never seen The Chew.
The Chew is a food show?
The Chew is on after
The View.
The View and The Chew.
See what they did?
Yeah. And then they're coming up with another reality show where celebrities will vomit called The Spew. It's going to be The View, The Chew, and The Spew and a block of programming on ABC, and I hope you'll all watch. More reality show news. Khloe Kardashian is in talks to be the host of X Factor, the Simon Cowell talent show. Simon Escan, the guy who was hosting that show, and he's got new judges coming on as well, and he wanted to revamp the host position. So Khloe Kardashian apparently in talks with producers as a possible replacement to host that show. You know what that
Terrible
means? If Khloe Kardashian gets the job? She will be the first Kardashian to have had a job in the history of that family since Robert Sr. died. Can you imagine a Kardashian actually having to do something?
No, it's true.
To earn a living in entertainment?
No, I can't.
Instead of just sitting around farting, having someone film them?
F you, you effing bitch.
Look, we've all seen enough of the Kardashian show to know that none of them have the personality to be able to host a television program.
No.
None of them.
But if any of them do, it's her. She is by far the most outgoing and sort of possessive of a sense of humor of all of them, which is not to say much in comparison.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think you're right. But
she had to develop personality because she's hideous.
Well,
if you're in a family of beauties, you have to become the funny one.
Yeah, the fat chick all of a sudden has to be the funny one. You're right.
Yes. And she can also change attire. She's had to learn skills, is what I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Samantha Ronson is 35 years old today.
Oh, he's good.
That's the popular DJ that Lindsay Lohan was dating for a while. What he saw in her, I have no idea. Wayne Knight from Seinfeld. He was Newman on that show. 57. Are you watching the new Jerry Seinfeld web series?
No.
Comedians drive in a car to get coffee or whatever it's called?
No.
I'm not.
I think it's called Comedians Get Coffee or Comedians Drive Around. Anyway, it's him and a comedian in a car, a different car every episode, and they drive around and then they find a place and they get a cup of coffee. Okay. I know. It doesn't sound automatically entertaining just by the premise.
Is it
entertaining? But it's hilarious.
Is it really?
The first episode is him and Larry David. I'm telling you, you will laugh hard for 10 straight minutes.
That's a terrible idea.
Episode 2, Ricky Gervais.
Wow.
And Seinfeld driving around getting coffee. I know it's a flimsy premise, but I guarantee you, you will laugh. Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden, also a fencer. We got intern Lynette, who brought in her foils and her gear for me to play with today.
Ralph, you're not going to be a fencer.
We've got Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden, also a fencer. And we've got the guy from Swordplay in Burbank on the show today talking about fencing. It's the year of the fencer, is what I'm saying.
It's all coming together. Let me play a little Iron Maiden for folks who may not they know the name, they haven't heard some of their music. Here's something from their classic Number of the Beast album. See why they're so popular.
Love Iron Maiden. Mm-hmm. David Duchovny's 52 years old today. Harold Perrineau from Lost turns 49. And Charlize Theron, our good friend Charlize, celebrates her 37th birthday. Has there ever been a lovely more 37?
No.
I say no. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
If you were not lucky enough to be one of the 700 at the Echoplex in Echo Park last night, you did not get a chance to see the surprise Green Day show. A complete recap, including the set list and a whole bunch of good stuff, if you're a Green Day fan, is up at krock.com. You should definitely check it out this morning. Kevin, I'm going to let you attempt to pronounce our guest's last name, because I'm not having very much luck with it so far.
I am the expert when it comes to pronunciation.
Go for it.
It's Claudia Obtenkilder.
You got it.
Thank you.
How about that?
I'm impressed.
I wish I wouldn't have stuttered before, but
you are the president of CougarLife.com?
Correct.
Well done. Now, is that unwieldy last name? Is that a married last name or is that a single name?
I haven't changed my name yet. We've been married a year, and I haven't changed it. I've kept it at Obtenkilder, but the hubby is St. Marie. So Obtenkilder dash St. Marie, maybe.
All right.
Claudia St. Marie, way hotter anyway, by the way.
Is it? Yes. My dad won't want to hear that.
Speaking of hot, by the way, you are so pretty.
Well, thank you.
You're the president of a freaking company. You don't expect pretty on top of that. Tell folks, if they can't figure it out from the name, what CougarLife.com is all about.
It's a niche dating website that is created for older women to find younger men and vice versa.
Is it the same with women? Men, when they see another guy gets a younger girl, he's like, you go. That's good for you. Are women that way?
I think so. I think we've experienced a little bit of both. There are some older women that get a little bit jealous and see it on a different level because they're used to dating older and they see it and, I don't know, they just want to be negative and judgmental. But for the most part, we've had nothing but positive reviews and feedback.
And your son in there, what does he think?
Oh, you're funny. Oh, poor thing.
What's my husband.
What's the age difference? The husband. 14 years. I'm going to be 42 this year, and he is 28.
Strong. Now, did you meet him in any way as a connection from running your website?
No, we actually met on Facebook before the site came out.
That.
Yes.
Lisa, you tell me, when you're together with your girlfriends and one of them is, between marriages or out of a relationship and starts banging around with a much, much younger man, what's your thought?
You know what he means, romantically.
Is it you go girl or is it a little bit embarrassing and you say, why aren't you with somebody your own age?
No, I think you go girl for sure. Because for a lot of women, when you get to a certain age, the guys your age want to date younger women.
Right.
So the pickings are pretty sparse.
Oh,
or they
I
come
see.
With... lots of baggage.
That's true, too.
Well, so you may be.
It's definitely a you-go girl.
Everybody has baggage.
I don't.
Although, I will say, generally, you think of it as they're just having a good time, and if and when they do want to get married again, it probably won't be that guy.
But it
I
was
married
in your
that
case.
Guy, yeah, but I think that's relatively rare.
Yeah, you know what? I think anything that you're looking for, it's available for you on the site. If you're looking for someone just to date or have a good time with or just to hook up with, it's there for you. And if you're looking for a relationship, that potential is there as well. So, I mean, anything, at the end of the day, it's a dating service. So whatever it is you're looking for, it's available.
I was driving down Sunset and I saw a billboard and it said website for mother effers.
And yeah. That caught my eye.
Good. That's what it was meant to do.
Oh, I see what they're doing there. CougarLife.com.
Correct.
What kind of response did you get to that particular billboard?
We've had nothing but just a fun response to it, actually.
That's not true. That is true.
Definitely not true. It is, from my end anyway, from what I've heard. I don't know what's going on down here, but on the Toronto end of things, when people heard about it, they thought it was awesome, and people stopped and looked at it, and it did exactly what it was supposed to do.
That's what it's supposed to do,
it was supposed to catch attention. It was supposed to create a little controversy. It was poking fun at that Mother Lovers video that Justin Timberlake and Adam Sandberg did.
Sure.
And we have so many single moms on the site and so many divorcees. So that just, you know, was a play on words. It was just for fun.
Is the kid thing, does that make it more difficult if a woman has kids? Does that make dating way harder?
I'm sure for that woman it does. Yeah. But I think it's very individual. Some men don't mind being with women who already have kids because maybe they don't want them themselves. So I think that's a very individual thing that's hard for me to answer broadly.
Let me ask you this question. And again, this is the voice of Claudia Opden-Kelder, who is the president of CougarLife.com here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we are going to take your calls if you want to join the conversation coming up with Claudia at 1-800-520-1067. Let me ask you this question, and I would be asking the same question if we were talking about older men who are dating much younger women, is outside of in the bedroom, what do you guys have to talk about if the age difference is 14, 16, 18, sometimes 20 years? I mean, is that a problem for couples to get together?
You know what? It's never been a problem for us or any of my cougar friends. I mean,
your husband doesn't come home and go, hey, let's talk about One Direction. And you go, huh?
No. He's very anti-boy band, actually.
Sorry, dude.
And you know what? He's actually an old soul, and he knows all the music that I do. I mean, the odd time there might be a TV show or something that comes up that me may not know, but that's not something that's going to make or break our relationship. Everyone's going to have different tastes and things. I mean, but we have tons to talk about. We both have a big zest for life and a huge insatiable desire to see everything and go everywhere. We're big travelers, so we just have a ton in common, and it just works for us.
But when he's 60 and you're 72, 74?
No, dead.
Oh,
she's dead.
That's terrible.
No, I'm saying when you get older, though, doesn't it make a big difference?
I don't think it does. I mean, I keep joking and telling him I might trade him in for a younger version.
Well, you do run the site. I guess that's your option.
Let me ask you this, and I totally believe you, Claudia, when you say that as many different people are on the website are all looking for different kinds of scenarios. Some are looking for relationships. Some are just looking for fun. Do you have people on there who are married? Ladies who are married who go on the site and they're just looking for a little younger man on the side.
I wouldn't know. Nobody's actually posted on their profile that they're married. I don't think that would be a good idea. Yeah.
They go to Ashley Madison.
Yeah, so I wouldn't know that exactly. But it really does run the gamut. I mean, we have people from 18 to 60. I mean, it's all over the place. So even if people meet on the site that are the same age, it's not that you're going to be turned away because, hey, this is not the niche we're going for.
What's the biggest gap between what the woman wants and how old the guy is? Do you have a 60-year-old saying, I'm looking for an 18-year-old?
No. No. Okay. I think there's a line somewhere. But I have met a woman who's in her 50s who met a man who's 38. And she said, he may not be the man I'm going to marry, but he is my companion and my soulmate. And we're traveling the world together. And and she wrote to me. And I get tons of letters from guys thanking me all the time saying that this is the best site ever. So, and we have over 3 million members now.
Wow.
So it's pretty crazy.
We're going to take your calls. If you want to weigh in on the topic or have questions for Claudia, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. The website is called CougarLife.com. A quick break. We'll be back with your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean. I'm very deeply in love with our guest, Claudia Opden-Kelder, who is in studio with us. Yes, I know. She's married, and I'm way too old for her because she runs CougarLife.com. We're going to go to your calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. Yes.
The good news is her husband has to go back to school in a week or two.
He's in 11th grade. Yeah.
She'll have a lot of free time.
I love Kevin mentioned this billboard that got all the publicity at West Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard, the one that advertises cougars for mother effers. And here's my favorite part of the article that we read. The city of West Hollywood reviewed the billboard content and determined it did not violate city policy or community standards. What could violate community standards in West Hollywood if mother effers doesn't? What I want to know.
Hey, it worked in our favor. It's
it wasn't.
Good.
Everybody knows you're not talking about your own, so it's completely different. You know?
Everybody has that fantasy about someone else's mom or the teacher.
Or kid has a friend with a hot mom.
So you have over 3 million people registered at CougarLife.com, a combination of the Cougars who are looking for the younger men and the Cubs who are looking for the older women. One question I'm sure you get asked a lot, but I'm just curious. Why are these attractive older women? Why do they need to even advertise on the internet? It doesn't seem like it'd be that hard for most women, especially attractive ones, to find a dude.
I think a lot of women nowadays just don't want to pick up in the bars anymore. I mean, the stigma has changed. Yeah, the stigma's changed. Those old school cougars that used to hang out in the bars and prey on and pounce on the young, that doesn't exist anymore. And I think a lot of them being busy, having careers or having children, want to stay home and be in the comfort of their pajamas and sit behind their computer and feel safe. And you know, everyone's dating online these
days. Don't feel like going out on a Friday night to a high school football game.
I have a question. And this way they don't have to hide behind their age, right? Like on this site, you can be open and honest about it and feel
That's
free.
True. And if you were on Match.com, you're right. You would be, the tendency would be to lie about your age because of the kind of,
a little bit more concerned.
So
yes,
let
Lisa.
Me ask you something. Yes. When older men date younger women, they are generally men who are pretty successful and financially comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same generally when it's an older woman looking for a younger man?
I think a lot of the cougar women, because of this huge societal movement and women being in power positions more so now and having the better jobs and being CEOs of companies, I think that's it's just changed. So yeah, there's tons of women now that are financially stable and experienced and, you know, have always been able to get what they want and have always taken care of themselves.
Will they pay for an apartment for me?
I don't know. It depends on which
take you around the world.
There's cougars and there's sugar mamas. And it's a little bit of a difference.
I meant for someone.
Claudia, yes. What are the ages that science now tells us each gender is at their sexual peak?
I don't really know what science tells us, but I know just from, you know, personal experience and from listening to friends and talking to people and the responses that I get in emails that men are in their 20s and women in their 30s and 40s.
Makes sense, this is perfect. CougarLife.com is perfect for them then.
It's funny because when we had our interview yesterday, Paul had mentioned that, yeah, they say that men are at their sexual peak at 18, but they don't know what the hell they're doing.
That's true.
And so at least in their 20s, you know, they're kind of comfortable in their own skin and they've got their way about themselves.
Right. Let's talk to Erin. She's on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show for Claudia with CougarLife.com. Erin, thanks for calling and holding on. What do you have for us?
Hi, guys. I just started a relationship with someone I've been working with for 5 years, so I know him pretty well, but he is 10 years younger than me, and he thinks that it's going to last long-term, but I have my doubts, and I'm not sure as we get older if we're going to have as much in common anymore.
What are your ages, if you don't mind my asking, because that makes a big difference if he's 18 or 28?
I'm 38, he's 28,
oh,
and
right.
I have son who's two.
That's perfect.
So what is it about the future that you think is going to change?
I'm going to get old and wrinkled and baggy.
Stop it. Don't say that. Men get old and wrinkly and bald and hairy.
Yeah, but then they date women 20 years younger than themselves.
I don't know where they find those women, by the way. But you know what? If it's real, it'll last.
I just feel like I'm going to get more self-conscious as we get older, you know, and I don't know.
I can't believe
sexual attraction.
But you're 38. I mean, you still have 30 years before you're old.
Exactly.
But this cannot be an uncommon fear.
I don't worry about those things. Whether I'm with him or not, I know I'm going to take care of myself and eat right and do what I can to make, you know, today's 40, yesterday's 30. I mean, I feel that women nowadays have been doing that much more. Not with plastic surgery. I mean, just really, truly being healthy and wanting to look better and feel better.
Erin hasn't.
Do that for yourself, not for, you know, the man.
Erin has already let herself go. Kevin, is that what you're worried about?
Poor Erin. She's making herself wrinkly already.
Erin's a bad 38.
I don't know. I mean, I think all women are afraid of pushing 40.
Well, of course.
And especially after having a child. And I feel like...
I promise you, 40 is fabulous. I've never loved an age more.
Just remember,
he, you know, ages as well. And don't assume that you're going to age worse than him.
But better. He ages better.
I don't know about that.
My honey's got
some more wrinkles than I do, I think.
Erin, just keep him away from your hot younger friends. That's the only advice we can give you. But thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Good luck.
All right. CougarLife.com. That is the site. What's it cost to register to be on the site as either a cougar or a cub?
Women are completely free. How about that?
There you go.
Men start at $13 a month. And we work up from there depending on what type of membership you want.
Well, I think it's fantastic. I got no problems with it. I think it's great. I wish
you
nothing.
Sign up?
Nothing but see, I'm
he's 100.
I'm 100 and married, so probably not the best choice.
Somebody older, we're in trouble.
What about beer mug? I think he's looking interested.
Look at him. But just look at him. Oh, that goodness. Would be a premium membership right there.
Aw, that's not nice.
All right, we don't want to bring down the standards on your site by putting beer mugs ugly mug out there.
Claudia, good luck with your new
thank
husband.
You so
and thank
much.
You so much for coming in. We really enjoyed
Thanks
talking
for having
to you.
Me.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:42.
Thrust! Thrust! Parry! 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 Thrust! Thrust!
Just getting ready. Just getting ready for Rio.
Ralph in Rio 2016. I've already got the t-shirts made, Ralph. I'm very excited about you being on the U.S. fencing team in the Olympics. It's going to be awesome. But tell people how this new dream got started for you.
Well, every once in a while, I will catch some fencing somewhere, and I look at it and go, that looks awesome. I think I'd like to do that. And then something shiny comes by, and I lose focus, and, right. I move on. The first time for me was, I guess, the James Bond movie, The World Is Not Enough, I think it was. There's a big fencing sequence.
Oh, so this has happened to you many different times.
Yeah.
I thought it was just you
saw it. As a little kid, I loved like the Errol Flynn swashbuckle movies and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know what they used to do? Sword fight.
That's what it is.
Yeah. No, it isn't.
Fencing is sword fighting.
No, Kevin. Not really.
It is. And then I would see fencing throughout my life and say, that looks like an intriguing sport. I mean, it looks physically demanding. It looks mentally demanding. You have to stay focused. You have to stay sharp. It just seems to me to be intriguing. And then I was flipping around the channels, and I came across Olympic fencing. And I caught the fever yet again. I said, this time I'm really going to do it. This time I'm really going to look into it. I'm going to take some lessons, and I want to learn how to fence. That's how it happened this time around.
Some of those movies that you've seen that you love, like I Love You Man and Master and Commander and movies like that where they have the great sword fighting scenes and on dozens and dozens of television shows, the man who helped the stars with their choreography for that sword fighting is on the line with us right now. And he also runs SwordplayLA.com and SwordplayLA in Burbank on Victory Boulevard. And tell me if I'm saying this wrong, Tim, but is it Tim Weske? Is that right?
That's absolutely correct.
Very Tim, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I can't believe it, but we're about to talk fencing.
Tim, do you run into a lot of people like myself who watching the Olympics, watch some of the fencing and say, man, that looks like a fun sport. I want a taste of that.
Yep, we sure do. Yeah, when the Olympics come around or when you get a movie like you're talking about, like some of those shows or like The Parent Trap or something, people bring their kids in like in droves.
I bet when and Princess Bride came out, that was a big influx of business for you.
That was before my time, before my studio started, but yeah, it probably would have been. But
that's one of those great fencing movies.
Let me just ask this question, because I think we're mistaking fencing for sword fighting. Those are two very different things. Swords, you use swords. Fencing, you use toothpicks, and you try to touch the other guy. Right?
Sword fighting is the same thing, though.
But except for there's no padding, and they're using swords.
Kevin's not going to be happy until somebody's bleeding or run through, apparently.
I'm saying it's very different.
It's not very different because they're fighting with swords. How very different can it be? It's not like soccer and badminton. Those are very different. These are people fighting with swords.
They're not fighting with swords.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's my point.
Is this going to be the whole break with you?
Well,
Tim,
I have to agree. I have to agree with the sword fighting thing, but it's not just... It's all about balance and all about footwork and all about things like that. You could just go, like some of the movies just click, 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 you know, they just hit in certain places and then they, with a sword. But if you see something like The Princess Bride, it's got all this footwork and all this movement and they're doing dialogue and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And you do both stage technique fighting as well as the fencing, right?
Yep, do both. Yeah, there's a few people... in the beginning of movie history through now, that just a handful of people that actually do both of them. Yep. That can understand and, you know, go between the two.
Now, Ralph, are you going to go into the Olympic arena or are you going to go into the movie star?
Well, I'm going to be one of those people who do both.
You do both.
Yeah,
right.
I'll be in Rio, and I will also probably work the sword fighting into my own acting technique as well.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Now, is the draw fencing or is the draw Brazil for a month? I mean, come on, what's the real deal here? Why are you so focused on making the Olympics in 2016, Ralph?
Well, because I think fencing – here's the thing. I've seen – now that I've looked into it, and I start to look at some of the stuff online, and I look at videos and stuff, you never see a fat fencer.
Yeah, they're in shape.
Oh. I've never seen one fat fencer.
That's because there's too much space. You can get hit in any thousand
too big a
different
target.
Ways.
Yeah,
it looks. I would assume it's a much more physically grueling sport than would seem to be at first blush, right, Tim?
Absolutely. Yep. People come in and they're very surprised. I've had people from athletes and trainers of athletes have come in for just a first free trial lesson for about 30 minutes, and they're in shape, like aerobics teachers and all that stuff. And they're saying, oh, my God, I never realized how hard this was.
All right, let me ask you this. Here's my problem with fencing versus sword fighting. In sure. sword fights, they seem to be long, drawn-out sword fights. In fencing, it really does seem like it's a one-second event, and then the buzzer goes off or someone yells or whatever, and somebody gets a point. But there's no extended, long series of stuff. It's too quick.
Hey, Kevin, one's movies and one's real life.
Right, but okay, so I'm saying I don't think I would like fencing.
But every time you score a point, you reset. It's like when you score a touchdown in football, you don't keep playing at the goal line. You go back and they kick off and you start all over again.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's like any sport. When you score a point, you start over.
It's definitely one of those sports where you have to come in and you have to try it. It's not for everybody because it does require a lot of focus and a lot of patience, and you're doing things really, really fast and making decisions that are faster than your eyes can see. I mean, one of the weapons that we use is called a foil, and the only thing that's faster than a foil point is a bullet at that range and that speed. So when you see those people in the Olympics, for example, and they're really going at it, and they slow it all down for you guys to watch, but that thing's traveling just slower than a bullet. So the reflexes have to be extremely fast, and you have to be in great shape, both mentally and physically, to be able to do that. And
Ralph, I could outfence you in a heartbeat.
I see a Kevin Amin video. Right, I see a video happening.
This is going to be fun.
I could outfence you like that.
Tim, I'm supporting Ralph in Rio for 2016. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
But I have to ask, he's in good shape, and he's done years of boxing training, which I think is going to help him in terms of his stamina, in terms of his eye-hand coordination, things like that. But, I mean, what's the deal with the age here? Are you much better off to be a very, very young person in fencing, or is this one of those sports where you can dominate regardless of your age if you have the right training and skills?
Yeah, I think if you have the right training and skills, sometimes like when you get to Olympic stuff right now, the way that it is, there was a time probably, I don't know, in the 80s, maybe up until then, where like somebody in their 40s or something could probably do well. As a matter of fact, I think we had one competitor on the U.S. team in 84 when it was in L.A. who was in his 40s and won a bronze medal. But
that's the exception?
It's a young man's game.
I don't think that's the same nowadays. Yeah. I think it's the training and stuff is so much better now than it used to be. So
you may have to quit this job, Ralph, and devote your time full time for training.
That's
for real.
Pretty much it.
That's another upside for fencing for me.
All right, we're almost out of time, but this is the first of many conversations we'll be having with Tim. SwordplayLA.com is the website, and SwordplayLA is on Victory Boulevard in Burbank. Tim, would you allow Kevin and Ralph to come down and hook them up with some fencing stuff so we could shoot some video? Because I would love to see those two go at it.
I would absolutely love to do that.
Kevin's going to start hacking at me with the foil and start smacking me in the head. He's just going to go ape as crazy like he's on bath salts, and I'm going to be trying to actually be doing fencing.
It's not going to be like I'm on bath salts.
We'll dress you guys up in some hockey pads.
There you go.
That's what I'm going to need.
Right. I love it. All right, Tim, you are an important part of the puzzle to win an Olympic gold medal for the Kevin Amin Show via Ralph in Rio. Thanks so much for coming on today. We enjoyed talking to you.
My pleasure. Thank you guys
so much. Thanks, Tim.
This month, buy three, get the fourth free on Dueler AT and HT tires for your light truck or SUV, or buy three, get one free on Firestone Firehawk wide oval AS performance tires. Call 1-800-LOCATE-US to find the Firestone near you. You can call and ask them.
Sure, I'll make a note of that.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:54.
Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's future Olympian Ralph Garman.
How many times Lisa's doing a commercial do you think she has any idea what she's talking about?
About 10.
Any idea.
10%.
10% of the time?
I'd give me 15.
No.
You'd give you 15?
I would.
Once again, she has no idea what she's talking about. Right there. Why is this not on? Why do I not have any power over here? Why is this machine not on?
I don't know.
Very much, this whole situation here seems to be black.
I
this machine is black.
Oh,
over
you turned
here.
It off.
Someone turned it off.
I didn't.
Well, I don't know who did.
Wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you.
Not him.
Not my
fault. It's never him.
It was Dave.
Before I get to the showbiz news, how about giving away some more passes to the world premiere of Hit and Run?
Yay!
It's happening at the Regal LA Live next Tuesday, August the 14th.
Those kids are whores. They love every movie.
They really do.
They're very excited about free stuff. That's all
they love cinema. It's in theaters everywhere Wednesday, August the 22nd. But if you're one of the first three callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, you will see it before anybody else. Not only at an advanced screening, but it's the world premiere. You will walk the red carpet along stars like Kristen Bell, Bradley Cooper, and writer, director, star of the film, Dax Shepard. You can check them all out and see the movie.
I was no fan of Dax, I'm being honest now, until Parenthood. And he just blows me away on that show week after week. He's really a fine actor.
We met him first on Punk'd, right? Wasn't he one of the Punk'd crew?
Yep, that's how he sure
met,
was.
That's how we met Dax. Sad news. Composer Marvin Hamlisch has passed away at the age of 68 years old.
He means touching sound effect tribute to death.
One of the great showbiz composers of all time. Won every major award in his career, including 3 Academy Awards, 4 Emmys, a Tony, 3 Golden Globes. His scores colored some of the most important works of Broadway and film. Chorus Line, of course, was a huge success. Still one of the most successful Broadway shows ever. He was responsible for that. He did 40 film scores, including Sophie's Choice, Ordinary People, Take the Money and Run, The Sting, of course, famously, and The Way We Were. He passed away here in Los Angeles at 68 yesterday. This is good news. Right now, as we speak, they are firing up the cameras. They are getting their actors on their marks. They are starting to film the new episodes of Arrested Development. All started today.
That's great.
Jason Bateman, Jeffrey Tambor, Portia de Rossi, David Cross, Jessica Walter, Will Arnett, Michael Cera are all back to take on their old roles.
Such a genius show.
Such a genius show, so underappreciated, canceled way before its time, and now popular demand is bringing back 10 episodes that will begin showing on Netflix beginning sometime next year with an option for another 10 should the series remain popular. And then, of course, the feature film will be filmed shortly after that. So we got a lot of new Arrested Development in our future, which is good news for everybody. Robert Pattinson has announced he will be appearing on Good Morning America on Friday, August the 17th.
Is he just going to weep?
Yeah, he's just going to come out crying.
That's
drunk.
That's quite a get. Drunk. Everybody wants that interview.
I wonder how much he'll talk about the whole Kristen Stewart affair and her affair.
Sure.
I mean, he knows that's what they want to talk about. He doesn't think he's just going to get on and talk about the film, does he?
I don't know. He's got an upcoming movie called Cosmopolis that he will be promoting, and I guess he could, if he wanted to, say, let's just talk about that. But how do you, if you're Good Morning America, you have to say, look, we'll be happy to have him, but we have to be able to talk about what's going
on. We've had that before where people say they won't talk about whatever. And you go, okay, then we're not going to take you, or it's worth it, we'll have you in anyway.
The Manhattan premiere of that movie will be August the 13th, so he'll be on the red carpet. I doubt he'll do any press on the red carpet. If he's smart, he will hold off for this particular detailed conversation. And
what's your guess, Ralph, if you don't mind me asking, on his future in films beyond Twilight? Is he a guy who has enough that he'll continue to go on and have a successful career?
I think he does.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I've never seen him in anything, so I don't have any kind of opinion on him at all.
I've only caught bits and pieces of his work. I've never sat through an entire film that he's been in. But from what I've seen, he has a smoldering screen persona that women certainly seem to respond to. Mm-hmm. And the thing I like about him is he is taking an enormous amount of chances with his career. A lot of guys could have gone the safe route, a.k.a. like a Zac Efron or somebody, and try to parlay their teen
fan base
into following them into romantic films and that kind of stuff and stick with the safe stuff. He did that Water with Elephants, which wasn't really a safe choice after Twilight. And this Cosmopolis that he's done, it's with David Cronenberg, one of the weirdest, most disturbing directors working today. And apparently it's a very strange film. So he seems to be making choices that are outside the box, which will serve him well down the road. Because if one of these hits and he gets known for his performance or the film becomes a cult or critical success, I think it'll do a lot to take him away from the Twilight image and propel him into more interesting film work. So I think he's got a chance. While we're talking about films, Jennifer Lawrence is returning to film the sequel to Hunger Games. She was paid $500,000 to do the first film.
Wow. That's nothing for movie nothing. Standards, right?
Well, she was no one. No one really knew who she was. She did that film that she was nominated for the Oscar for, but she signed Winner's Bone, but she signed for the Hunger Games before she was up for an Oscar for that. So she was a little known actress at the time. What do you think she's getting for number 2? What's her payday for the second film?
$600,000?
Yes, they've gave her a $100,000 bonus. Absolutely.
I'd say $5 million.
You would say $5
million? Mm-hmm. I'd say $3.
I would say let's double Kevin's number.
Wow.
Really?
$10 million.
Good for her.
Wow. Good for her indeed.
That includes bonuses, and depending on how much the film makes at the box office, she could actually earn a lot more than that because she's got some back-end participation as well. But
she does.
That's quite a raise.
And how happy are you if you're Brian Valentine, vice president of Amazon.com?
Pretty happy.
I'm not done with the story.
Okay.
And you get to tell your daughter, honey, you're going to have the best wedding ever. Actually, never mind. It's his wedding. Brian Valentine says to his fiance, honey, we're going to have the best wedding ever.
Okay.
Because I got Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers to perform at our wedding.
That's weird.
Pretty strong.
Unless you're a Tom Petty fan.
Then it's huge.
And then it's huge, right? He contacts this guy, Chad Christopher Lund, who was a promoter, who got Petty to play at the wedding. Now, I would have suspected something was up when Chad was only asking for $330,000 for Tom Petty to perform at the wedding. That seems like a lowball number to me for a classic artist like
that. Because usually those guys can do that private stuff, but it's way
pricey.
Expensive.
This guy told Brian Valentine, vice president of Amazon, just to wire me 50% of that as a down payment to this Swiss bank account.
Okay, uh-oh. So what's wrong uh-oh. Here? This uh-oh. Sounds terrible.
I don't like where this is headed.
It turns out Chad Christopher Lund was in no way connected to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And once Brian Valentine found that out, he contacted the FBI. They hunted Chad down, and he was arrested Thursday on felony fraud charges.
That's funny.
Wow.
Swow indeed.
Brian lost his $165,000, but he got married anyway on July the 21st in Seattle, of all places, being up near you.
That's where Amazon.com is.
Yeah, he went through proper channels, by the way, and told the actual representation of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers the story of what had happened. So guess who came and played at his reception?
No way.
Really?
The real Tom Petty and the
no
Heartbreakers
way.
Showed up and performed a couple numbers for him at his
That's
wedding.
Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Amazing.
Yeah. So the story has a happy ending, but he almost got suckered.
How dumb must he have felt when he, that oh my God moment? He's not with what? That
Wait,
means
I honey, we're going to have the worst wedding ever. That's what he had to go tell his wife.
At any point, when he found out about it, did he say to the con man, hey, don't do me like that?
Oh my God.
Did he tell him, don't come around here no more?
I'm not a fan of yours.
Is this thing on?
Unfortunately, yes. Wow.
Put it in the file. Put it in the file. That's
sad. Like a refugee now.
Oh, stop!
You can't stop.
Hey, you can yell at me all you want. I won't back down.
Oh, God.
I got all day.
I know.
No, I'm done.
Let's move on.
I'm done.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Wayne Knight from Seinfeld played Newman on that show. I believe he's got a new TV series on TV Land called The X's. I think he's in that.
That's right.
57 years old today. Bruce Dickinson, lead singer for Iron Maiden, also Fencer. Just want to remind you, Fencer. 54 years old.
You know what you're
today.
Not? Fencer.
You know what I'm going to be? Fencer.
I hope you're going to carve an R into Kevin's cheek when you guys get together, like Zorro. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I was thinking after that interview, what does Kevin want to happen? He wants people to go without any protective gear into a room and just sword fight and actually hurt each other?
No, but
that would be a bad sport, Kevin. I'm just saying that would be a poor sport.
That would be a great sport, A. And B,
somebody would get seriously injured every time they played the game.
I'm saying let's not act like they're the same.
They are very
similar. They're not
similar.
The same. It's like a real gun versus a rubber band gun. Very different. One causes injury, the other might just sting a little bit.
Okay, but Kevin, couldn't the argument then be that boxing is no different than street fighting because you allow them to because you allow them to wear gloves?
No, I don't think that's accurate.
Why? Because one of them is just trying to make the same thing that you would do on the street, but safer.
Is a street fight and boxing very different? Are those two things very different?
I'm saying no, because they're both fighting.
Right.
Shooting
so we're saying these are both sword fighting.
Both sword fighting, though.
Please, they're not fighting sword. Sword fighting is about scoring and about...
But it's only because about scoring because they have protective gear on. If you took the tips off the foils and you took the protective gear off
now
and you did
got
the same thing,
sport.
You would run someone through. You would actually perforate their body with that sword.
And you would watch every second of that.
Oh, my God.
Because that would be awesome.
Now, you realize I have to murder you. If we do fence, I'm going to have to find some way to actually kill you during it.
Because that's what Kevin wants. That's the only way it's legitimate.
It's the only way you'll really enjoy the sport is if I actually draw blood from you.
You've been looking for a reason to do that for a long time.
Well, you've finally given it to me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You
are listening to the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Very suspect in your judgment, but we're happy that you are. It is 9:38.
Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph?
I'm just curious to know. Kevin mentioned that the females are the best soccer players in America or something?
In the world.
In the world.
Best team in the world.
He said better than the women play soccer? Better than the men who play soccer?
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
I said the women's team is better than the women?
There's more.
You said the women's team is better than the women who play soccer and the men who play soccer and everyone else who plays soccer. I was just wondering.
That part.
Yeah. Well, once you get all the women, you got that part handled.
Right.
And then you talk about all the men's soccer players. I'm curious to know who everyone else is. I would like to see that team play. Is there a hermaphrodite team? Is there
animals?
Are there animals playing soccer?
I don't know.
I'm curious to know.
It's possible, and I know this is hard to believe that I misspoke.
What?
It's possible.
I find that hard to believe.
I do, too. I doubt it, but.
Hey, you know we like to send beer mug out to do stuff?
Yes.
I have the next thing, the next project.
Is it dangerous?
It would be.
Yes.
And hilarious. Cirque du Soleil is having a casting call. They just sent me this release. Cirque du Soleil, their casting team, is looking for talent to replace performers in the new Iris that's playing down there at Hollywood and Highland. Their production, Iris.
Muggs is a shoe-in.
I'm thinking. They're looking for circus performers, people who do aerial disciplines, art gymnasts, gymnastics, trampoline,
that's
parkour, martial arts. Any of those sports. If you're an expert in any of those sports, they're looking for you to come down and audition for Cirque du Soleil.
Let's have them do parkour.
Let's have them do parkour. You have to wear appropriate attire, and you have to bring your grips. So don't forget your grips, beer mug, when you head down there, will you?
Sure.
I don't know what grips are, but you got to bring them. You can, apparently, September the 4th is one of the audition dates, August 30th and 31st. You can find all the information at CirqueDuSoleil.com/jobs if you want to be a member of the Cirque du Soleil troupe.
But you're going to have to beat out beer mug.
You're
going
to have to beer
mug.
That's what we're saying.
Oh, that'd be a dream come true if beer mug joined the circus and moved away.
How dare you, Bean?
Korn has a temporary bass player. Fieldy's wife is giving birth way before her due date, so naturally he wants to be with her. So the bassist from Mudvayne sitting in. Ryan Martini.
I think that would be Martini. Cool. I think that would be cool and fun to sit in for another band.
It's filling in a bunch of Korn dates until Fieldy's ready to come back to work. So if you see Korn in an upcoming concert and you say, hey, wait a minute, that's not Fieldy, now you know why.
I've got some Mudvayne music standing by for people who may not be familiar with their sound, Ralph.
All right. Love to hear
some. Bring the story to life. Here we go. Different incorporating that into Korn, but okay.
Glad we dusted off some yodeling music for today's show. Speaking of Bean, many people heard his Tom Petty.
Yes.
Pun marathon he went on.
It was brought up Tom Petty.
It was a marathon.
Yes. And we all mocked him and spurned him, as we should, and sent him to the file. I got a little message from our buddy Jason Schwartzman.
Yes.
Who said, tell Bean, I loved the Tom Petty puns.
Apparently, you don't have to pass that along.
Look, Jason's a friend. He asked me to pass along the message. I'm going to pass it along.
You just say, yeah, Jason, I'll tell him.
And lie to him and not say anything.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I'm saying there's one person out there who enjoyed it.
I know, but here's the thing. That's all Bean needs. And now
He only needs the one.
He's good for the next 100 times.
I appreciate it very much, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you,
Jason. Very much.
Thanks a whole lot.
Yeah, now we're all doomed.
Awesome. A-hole.
Daredevil. Did you ever see the movie Daredevil with Ben Affleck?
Did not. Ben Affleck is a red flag for me.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yes.
But then sometimes he's amazing.
That one in Boston.
That
was great.
I think he has completely redeemed himself as an actor and a director the last 5 years, and I think he's doing nothing but quality work.
This Argo. I want to see that.
Looks amazing.
Looks great. Argo, Kevin's the true story of a group of Americans who are not captured, but they're hiding behind national lines. Where was it, Bean? Do you remember? Was it Iran? Was it during the Iran crisis?
I think
the 70s?
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so the State Department has to figure out a way to rescue them, to go in and rescue them.
Oh, I have seen that.
And so what they do is they create the concept of pretending to be a film crew going in to shoot a science fiction film.
And it's a true story, right?
A true story, yeah.
Yes.
And they were going to have them blend into the cast and crew of this movie and then remove the production from Iran and then bring the Americans home. That was the premise. So he is directing and starring in that film, and it looks terrific. So, but Daredevil, not one of his greater films.
No.
20th Century Fox still has the rights to the Daredevil franchise, the comic book franchise, and they're looking to reboot the production, but they're running out of time. October 10th is the deadline for them to start filming, and they don't have anything in place yet. So apparently they're working on a deal with Marvel to swap out the rights to some characters in order to buy themselves some more time, because the rights would revert back to Marvel once that time limit ran out. According to sources, Fox is willing or being asked to give Marvel rights to some of the characters from the Fantastic Four franchise, which they also have the rights to, including supervillain Galactus and Silver Surfer and some of the other characters. So they can use those in the new Marvel movies, and then Marvel would give them more time to make their Daredevil film. So it looks like that swap's going to happen. So comic book movie fans,
doesn't seem
take
like
note.
Movie studios get along that well, usually.
Well, they do when you've got something they want, and they've got something you want, and so it all works out. Kevin Federline can't catch a break.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it is. He just got slapped by a lawsuit. Slapped with a lawsuit, rather, from his ex-landlord for $110,000.
Ouch. For what?
Joseph Malik, who owned the home that Kevin was renting, says that the home was thrashed when he got it back. Just destroyed.
Hard to believe.
And KFED still owed him back rent on top of it. So he's asking for $110,000 from Kevin Federline.
Does he still get paid by Britney?
I believe he does, yeah. I think that's his only source of income. Meanwhile, Kevin is countersuing for attorney's fees, statutory damages, and double his security deposit. He wants his security deposit back.
Based on what?
Yeah, I don't know. If you trash the house, I don't think you get it back. I think that's the way that works. Have you seen the new Victoria's Secret model?
No, please tell.
Yeah. She is from the Netherlands.
Yes.
Her name is Breggy Nijnen. Heinen, rather. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. She is the latest of the Victoria's Secret angels. And, of course, she says she doesn't really work out that much or go to the gym. She's naturally smoking hot, thin, and busty and beautiful. Doesn't really have to work out.
Hit the DNA lottery.
That makes women very happy. And since we're talking about supermodels, have you seen the nude pictures of Miranda Kerr?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
The artsy black and white photos are on the internet as we speak, showing her in some flirty poses. This is, as far as anyone knows, the first nude shots of Miranda that became available for consumption.
She's all right.
She does a lot of lingerie stuff, of course, with Victoria's Secret and other shoots. But they were posted on the photographer's website, who took the shots. Then they were quickly taken down, but they have made their way in. Once they get on the internet, they're there forever. So
here's what I love about guys, Lisa, is that we could see 40 million topless women, and we're equally excited about the 40 million than one.
I know. I don't. Have you seen the new? Yeah.
Yep.
I know. I should have said first. I know.
Well,
40 million first.
Yeah, saw it.
Especially Bean. Oh, Bean loves it. Someone pseudo-famous, whatever. By the way, not to interrupt your story, Bean, but nothing's funnier than watching Beer Mug try to find them.
Actually,
it's hilarious.
First of all,
he is like, he's never seen a computer. It's like watching a monkey. You just put a laptop in a cage at the zoo with a monkey, and you would get the same exact response.
He's the worst Googler in the world. We've established that. He can't spell. He never knows what words to use to find something. I know. It drives Kevin crazy every day. But my point is that no matter, I mean, look, we all have practically seen Miranda Kerr naked anyway. She's been a Victoria's Secret model. We've seen her in swimsuits. We've practically seen everything, but that doesn't stop our level of interest from seeing a little bit more.
Because everything we've seen is good.
Yeah.
That's why.
We want to see more good.
This particular case. Kerr is not spelled K-R, by the way, Muggs.
That's part of his problem right there.
K-E-R-R, I believe is how you spell her last name. Apparently, she did some pseudo-nude stuff in GQ, but this is the first time she's been, like, sort of full-blown naked.
I approve.
I do, too.
Although they were in black and white, and I take a point away from that.
I like black and white.
I'm not looking for artsy-fartsy in my nudes.
Ugh, I can only imagine what you're looking for in your nudes.
Man, do I not want to hear you say the word nude, even. Isn't it disturbing just to hear him say it?
But your nude O.J. Simpson photo that you've got hanging on your wall, that's black and white, isn't it?
Sorry, that's a painting.
No, it's a photo.
It's a photo.
Oh, I thought it was a photo.
I had no choice. That's what was available to me.
Naked, OJ, in the bedroom.
Yeah,
I mean, in the bathroom. Yeah. And occasionally people will come up to me and they go, is all that stuff you say about being true? Bean, is that true?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. I have that. That's a prized possession of mine.
Good
enough. 35 of those in the world. I got one of them.
Good enough. In the bathroom.
Is it in the bathroom so you can constantly look up and look down and compare yourself and feel badly?
it's because I feel so good looking up and then looking down. That's why. Please. It's an ego boost every time I go in there. I go, wow, I got more than the Jews.
Please. I was looking forward to The Great Gatsby, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
I love Baz Luhrmann. I think he's a fascinating director. Always visually interesting. Moulin Rouge, one of my favorite films. Tobey Maguire also stars, along with Carey Mulligan. I was looking forward to seeing that. This Christmas.
Past tense?
Yeah. Warner Brothers has announced they are pushing it back until summer 2013.
Let me make a note of my calendar. Oh, I'm booked.
It was going to be out this Christmas, but they've just moved it back. No word on why.
Christmas is so crowded this year. There's so many huge movies coming out at Christmas time this year. Maybe they just felt like, let's...
good idea. Move to summertime when there aren't any big movies coming out. That's a good point. So we'll have to wait to see that, but I'm looking forward to it. And Marvin Hamlisch has passed away at the age of 68. You may not know the name, but he was a huge movie, TV, and stage composer. Great musician. Did a ton of films. Probably best known for his work, The Way We Were. You probably know that Barbra Streisand song. You've probably heard that before.
Sure.
That was his work. The Sting. He won an Oscar for that score as well. The Spy Who Loved Me, the James Bond movie with Roger Moore. He did that one as well. A very talented guy. Passed away at the age of 68 years old. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Samantha Ronson is 35 years old. Charlize Theron celebrates her 37th birthday. Harold Perrineau from Lost played Walt's dad on that show. Michael, 49. Dave Duchovny's 52 years old. That's a good-looking 52 right there.
Duchovny. Yeah.
He's doing something right. Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden, fencer and singer, is 54 years old today. Actor Wayne Knight from the Seinfeld series, played Newman on that show. He is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning we have Travis Pastrana in the studio talking about his new movie, Nitro Circus 3D, which comes out this weekend. And if you'd like a pair of passes to the world premiere of that, it's tonight.
How about that?
What? This is how far ahead we plan.
We gave out Green Day tickets yesterday for a show last night, and now another thing that's happening tonight.
Tonight. It's happening tonight. So if you can go tonight at the Regal LA Live, call in now, and you'll be able to get those tickets. Is it tonight or tomorrow? Tomorrow.
It is today.
Tonight.
World premiere is tonight. Yes, and then Travis and Jolene will be joining us in studio tomorrow to talk all about the film.
So call now, 1-800-520-1067 if you want to go see that. John Cho will also join us on tomorrow morning's show.
Oh, I love John.
We have Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage.
Mm.
We have Jeff Ross.
Wow. That's a lot of show.
Master General in the studio.
He made some very, very, very unhappy people.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He always does, though, and that's what I like about him.
He's created a lot of drama.
We have Jay Roach on the show.
Super director.
Talking about the campaign, which he directed, and we also have tickets for the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.